much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What would you say you do here?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So many gay jokes tonight. Wow, so many gay jokes about Franco. Apparently, if you're clean, well-dressed, and mildly cultured, you're super gay now. Is that why the rest of you guys are so aggressively fat and dirty? You think if you read one book and take a shower, they're just gonna fly into your face?
Excuse me, Elmo. How you doing? What do you think of all the recent allegations of your Muppeteer and touching little kids? No? Tickle me, Elmo? No tickle me, Elmo? How do you feel about the Jews?
And now,
please welcome Ryan Seacrest.
Our feature presentation.
No?
No.
Hey, tonight's the Million Second Quiz, you know.
I do know that.
Don't care. Are you guys going to watch it? What? You interested in me?
I'm just curious for highlights.
I'm wondering how bad it's going to be.
Oh, okay.
Or is it going to be the new Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Maybe it'll be a sensation and it's all people will be talking about, that we sit on the edge of their chairs because it's so riveting. I don't know. I haven't seen it.
How does it work? Because
no one knows, Kevin.
Okay. All right. Good.
It's so convoluted.
Good.
Apparently you sit in a chair for up to, you know, a week. You could be literally sitting in the chair for a week, like 24/7, having trivia questions peppered at you.
And then as long as you answer them correctly, you can stay in the seat?
Yes, and you make like $10,000 a second. Right.
$10,000 a second. That can't be right.
That seems like a good payoff.
Yeah, it does.
Huh.
So anyway, that's tonight. We'll talk about that, I'm sure, more later. First, though, speaking of television over the weekend, who saw Kevin, your man, Eminem on the TV?
Oh, I saw that.
I saw highlights. I didn't see it happen.
It was a brief interview. He popped in the halftime of Saturday Night College Football. No, I think it was Notre Dame, Michigan.
Yep.
So he shows up in the booth, and I guess they're using his new song, Berserk. There's a lot of promotional opportunities around that song, and they're using it as the college football theme song for the Saturday Night Game of the Week. I think Andrew Siciliano started off the DirecTV Red Zone yesterday with Berserk as well. So he shows up, and you'd think he had never done an interview before. He's in the booth. You saw it, Kevin. Just standing there, staring off into the distance with his mouth open like he had never seen a television camera before, right?
I think he was playing the part of the guy in the video, right?
I'm not sure.
At the very end?
I'm not sure what he was doing exactly, although Brett Musburger, who was the announcer, and is, I don't know, 16 times as old as Eminem.
Right.
That was not a direct match, those two.
I thought he handled it well. I couldn't find any problems with his part, though.
He feigned interest very well.
He did feign interest. That's
I right. thought he did a nice job, but Eminem didn't give him much to work with. Here's a little bit of the tape from that interview from Saturday night.
What a pleasure for Herbie and me to introduce Marshall Mathers. Some of you may know him as Eminem, but he's going to join the Saturday night crew with our music intro starting next Saturday night. But, folks, I want to take you to the world premiere of one of his new videos. Videos called Berserk. Take a listen. It's headed for the top of the charts.
All right. Now, Eminem hasn't said anything yet, and he wasn't asked to say anything, but that's the whole time that Brent is talking, Eminem is just staring at the camera with his mouth open and his eyes wide. So then they play the video, and then they come back, and Kirk, Herb Street, I guess, is in the booth with Brent. He asks Eminem a question, and this is where I started to sense that there was a problem.
So was that the great Rick Rubin who was helping produce that with you, Marshall, when you did that?
All right, so we haven't gotten to – I apologize. We haven't gotten to Kirk's question yet. So he's asking about Rick Rubin producing. All right, first question for Eminem.
Yeah, sorry. Live TV. Live TV freaks me out a little bit.
No.
Yes, I'm sorry. What was the question?
That was Mr. Rubin, one of the all-time greats producer, huh?
He doesn't exactly take the information and run with it, does he?
And Rick Rubin is in the video, which doesn't happen very often.
Right.
Right. All right, so here's Kirk.
So you have the single out, album's coming out in November. What are you most excited about with this new album?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No. Well, it'll be out
November 5th, I'll probably be most excited to just be done with it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's called the Marshall Mathers LP 2, and it's kind of a, it's kind of a revisit to the first Marshall Mathers LP, and, that's pretty much all I could probably say about it, but.
Well, that sold it to me.
I can't wait now.
I am so excited. What are you most excited? Nothing. Well, I guess the fact that it'll be out. That's it.
That's how he's promoting the record. He's really weird that way. Like it's uncool to be excited about your album,
mm-hmm.
I think. And but the way I found out that he was going to be on was his tweet. He tweeted out, everybody turn on ESPN right now, as if he was really excited about it.
Right.
and then that happened.
And then he looked like he was there against his will.
Yeah, he did look like a prisoner.
They forced him into the booth and made him answer questions.
He had a sniper on him.
It was very weird because, I mean, you would think that the reason you agreed to do something like that is because you want to promote your record. And I don't know that the way to promote your record is to say I'm not excited about it at all.
What are you most excited about? Nothing.
Being you done.
You think he would say, hey, it's been a long time. I've been gone for a long time. I've
been working on it really hard,
and I've got a lot of things I can't wait for my fans to – I don't know, just – it was just weird. It was bizarre.
There are a lot of artists that are sort of like that, where they feel like they're selling out if they do an interview with a group like that. You know, obviously those guys didn't know much about him.
Right.
He didn't know much about them. But he did have an opportunity to sell his, you know,
yes,
his music, which he spurned.
At Au Contraire, by the way, he not only knows about them, he loves Brent Musburger.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Went on to say that he's in his, I think he said, you're in my Mount Rushmore of announcers, or I wish I had a fantasy team with you as one of my announcers. I love you so much. I mean, he was just in awe of being there with Brent Musburger. But he sure couldn't tell by the way he handled the interview. But needless to say, I'm still looking. I mean, you couldn't stop me from buying that album, but it was an odd bit of promotion is all.
You remember when we had him on?
Yes.
And it was the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah, he was tough.
It was the exact same thing. Very difficult. You try to craft questions so that it gives him many options to talk about, and he would just give you a one-word answer, and then you go, okay, I pretty much threw everything I had into that last question. I'm not sure what to do now. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is perfect for radio.
Yes, it is. Andrew Siciliano, speaking of, will be
fantastic
here talking about NFL week number one. And the Arizona Cardinals being in last place, congratulations to them. and I don't know if you saw last night's game, but Eli Manning, it was kind of a disaster, that game against Dallas.
Well, and he threw, what, three interceptions, I think? But his team wasn't giving him much help either.
Six turnovers.
Yeah.
And yet they almost came back and won.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous, yeah. So we got that coming up. We have a new video for you. We need to figure out if it's fake or not. I am convinced that it's real. I think Dave thinks it's fake.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fake, too.
You think it's fake, too?
I do.
All right. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk to, I know this is going to sound weird, but we're going to talk to John McCain's daughter, Meghan McCain.
That is a little strange.
That's not a normal Kevin and Bean thing. But we will be talking to her about a new TV show called Raising McCain.
Okay.
We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. And we have your tickets for Depeche Mode at the Staples Center coming up this morning as well. So we'll take a break, and then we will come back and do the Showbiz Beat next. Can't get much more over than that.
Yeah, you could. I went, woo, at the end.
That's true.
Still had that.
There was a woo. Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Monday morning is the bad news. The good news is Ralph is here with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a brand new week of Kevin and Bean. What's going on?
Well, as we always do on a Monday morning, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see at their local Cineplexes. It turns out Riddick was the number one movie in what was overall a lackluster movie weekend. Made $18.7 million, but it was still good enough to be number one this weekend.
Walked out. Never walked out in a movie.
What the what?
It's been a Did long you? Time since I walked out.
You?
I walked out.
I can't imagine, first of all, you ever walking out of any movie for any reason.
Which is exactly what my wife said.
But how did that happen?
That was just terrible.
Kevin, you've seen the worst movies in the history of cinema in your life.
And
how is this worse
around
than any of them?
I wasn't feeling that great, and I was just thinking,
this is
dumb. This is stupid.
It was absurd. Was it absurd and stupid and dumb?
It was also about 90% only Vin Diesel. Like, there was nobody else in the movie
He's on that desolated
45 minutes in.
Prison planet, right?
Yeah,
and he's grabbing dragon throats and stuff.
It was
awesome. It's cool.
It's not. Did you see it?
No, of
all right.
Not.
Stop talking.
An idiot.
It looked terrible. Why would you see it?
Why would I go?
It's terrible.
You knew it was going to be terrible before you went, though.
I did know that, yes. I knew that it was most likely.
So you got what you wanted.
Double dumbass on you for going.
Every once in a while, a movie like that will surprise you.
No, it won't. It's not a movie like that.
Every once in a while. Where you look at it and you go, this could be a disaster. But you go anyway because you hope. You always hope. And
well, you're known for your hopefulness, Kevin. That's true. You're always an upbeat, hopeful dude.
He's practically a puffy.
Thank you.
What was the last movie you walked out of, Ralph? Can you remember?
I can't remember.
I don't remember ever.
Of course,
walking.
I pick my movies a lot more carefully these days than I used to. Kevin does not have that same discerning element to his movie going experience.
I walked out of a Woody Allen movie. It was the Something Scorpion. Do you remember that one?
Yes.
The Mystery of the Jade Scorpion?
Yes.
I love that film.
No.
Oh, get out. Walk out of this movie right now.
The theater was like 1 degree. And I was like,
this is
a nightmare.
Again,
I can't do this.
People need your perfect movie going conditions.
Yes,
I didn't realize.
That helps.
Oh, my God. People.
But Riddick.
The Butler came in at number 2 with $8.9 million. That movie has made $91 million so far.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Instructions not included. This Spanish-speaking Mexican film still continues to do very well at the box office.
Should have gone to see that one.
You should have. $8.1 million. We're the Millers was 4th, and Planes came in at number 5. The One Direction documentary dropped all the way to number 6 in its second weekend. $4.1 million for One Direction, This Is Us. Then Elysium was number 7. Blue Jasmine was number 8. That's what I went to check out this weekend, the new Woody Allen film, Blue Jasmine.
Blue Jasmine, all right.
What an amazing film.
Really?
That I loved.
Boy, what a great film that is. And Cate Blanchett, if she doesn't get an Oscar nomination for this role, there is no justice. And you know who else is great in it and almost steals the movie?
Dice.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Really?
He's excellent in this
no
film.
No kidding.
Yeah. The
That's
whole
a
cast
shocker.
Is. Alec Baldwin, Peter Sarsgaard, everybody. Really enjoyed that film. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, was number 9. And then The World's End, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Covert Affairs actress Piper Perabo got married over the weekend.
Love that show.
Her director and producer on that series, Stephen Kay. She's 36, he's 50. Well done, Stephen Kay. Josh Charles from The Good Wife and Bunheads author Sophie Flack got married in Manhattan last week. A lot of people getting married. Patrick Stewart of Star Trek fame got married over the weekend. 73-year-old captain of the Starship Enterprise married his 35-year-old jazz singer girlfriend, Sonny Orzel, over the weekend. You know who officiated? Sir Ian McKellen.
Is that right?
Pat's best buddy. And they flipped that because Patrick Stewart was the officiant at his wedding as well.
How about that?
That's kind of nice. That
How'd you like to be in that group of friends?
Professor X and Magneto are marrying each other.
I guess that'd be all right.
That'd be pretty cool. And sadly, looks like Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart won't be getting married anytime soon.
Aww. But those kids can't make it.
According to the sources, they're no longer even on speaking terms. Mm. They lead very separate lives. Kristen is very sullen.
Really?
And Pattinson is randomly hooking up on his nights out with various women, apparently.
I thought his only friend was his guitar, Ralph.
Well, maybe his only friend, but it's not his only bone, I guess. I guess he can find lots of other bones.
Who gives a damn?
How do you let Kristen Stewart get away?
He
should rethink that.
I have no idea. And who is happier than I am that Kris Jenner's show got canceled on television?
Who's happier than you? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Husband?
I'm pretty happy.
The crew worked for her.
Oh, the crew. Oh, yeah. There you go. Because I was thinking Bruce would be sad about it.
He would be
sad. Gets her out
again.
Of the house.
Yeah.
No one. They say no one has ever been more thrilled to be unemployed than the people who worked on the Kris Jenner show.
I bet that's true.
Great story out of Star Magazine where they interviewed people who worked on the show. And the people who hated her the most were the makeup people. Because she would show up hungover every day and then expect them to make her look good.
Really?
Yeah. On the last day, Kris apparently gifted everyone on the staff with what looked like, according to sources, an airplane blanket. Didn't even have the show logo on it. Like, sometimes they'll give you some swag at the end as a parting gift or something. Everyone just got, like, a little blanket. So, okay. There you go. Blankets for everyone.
But their nightmare is over.
Their nightmare is over, yes. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Hugh Grant, 53 years old today. Actor and comedian Adam Sandler turns 47 years old. Michael Bublé, jazz pop singer, 38 years old. Actress Michelle Williams turns 33. And actor Eric Stonestreet from Modern Family.
He's the best.
He is the best. Our favorite Wildcat. He turns 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Speaking of new music here on the world-famous K-Rock, Kevin spent the entire weekend tweeting out links to The Fox. Now, I get that you like it. I get that it's your favorite new song and everybody's talking about it.
Right.
It's exciting. All. Why did you have to tweet it out every 30 minutes all weekend long? What's that about?
Here's the thing about that. If somebody tweets that, you have to watch it. You can't not.
It's true.
I don't know what the attraction is, but it's so catchy.
Yes.
And you really do have to watch it. So people were getting upset. They were like, stop tweeting. As if, like, they couldn't just ignore it and move on to something else.
It turns
so
out you they
just,
can.
But you can't. You just thought it would be funny to tweet it again and again and again because that got more and more people mad. And that's basically Twitter for you is poking a hornet's nest.
That's correct, yes.
I see.
And then I started trying to be funny. I would say, here's Eminem's Berserk, you know, the new video. And then, of course, it was the Fox song.
Right.
So good times. But this song went last week. If I recall correctly, I think the first morning we talked about it, it was 1.2 million views.
Okay.
Yeah, and it had only been up for like 24 hours at that point.
And then just that quick, there was 4 million, then 5 million, then over the weekend, 7 million and 10 million.
Wow.
And now it's right at about 11 million views.
Yay! And this is views on YouTube for a song by a Norwegian talk show duo called Ylvis, we think is how you pronounce
Tell
it.
Their song names, Bean.
Well, I happen to have them right here for you, Kevin. Let me see. They are Bard Ylvisaker and Vegard Ylvisaker. And I'm sure I said that just right. They have a TV talk show in Norway, and my Norwegian is not as good as it should be. But they put out this video, and I guess they have other videos, too, that are very funny. Check out their Stonehenge video. That's also very funny. But this one is called The Fox, and the premise is as simple as a little speak-and-spell game for kids, which you should go, hey, you know what the dog barks and the cat meows? What does the fox say? That's what the whole song is about. But Kevin's right. It's the catchiest damn thing you've ever heard in your life, and if you've not been subjected to The Fox yet, listen to this, and you'll never, ever forget it.
Dog goes woof, cat goes meow, bird goes tweet, and mouse goes squeak. Cow goes moo, frog goes croak, and the elephant goes toot. Ducks say quack, and fish go blub.
Do fish go blub?
Yeah, they do. That's the sound of the bubble. The bubble makes the air in the water. Yeah,
I wanted to make sure. I was thinking about that over the weekend.
And the seal goes ow, ow, ow. But there's one sound that no one knows. What does the fox say?
What sound does the fox make? That is a great question.
It is a good question.
Because does anyone know other than...
Well, it's funny you should ask, Kevin, because here's a follow-up article on the Fox video that says popular science has consulted with experts. They found a library, the Macaulay Library at the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, that has audio archives containing over 9,000 different species, including the fox.
Okay.
Including the fox. They do have the Ontario red fox they talk about, what the Arctic fox sounds like, what the common gray fox. So there are scientists who know what the fox says. However, Ylvis are not among them.
Are any of them ding 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 ding?
What does the fox say? What the fox say?
And this is what's really so funny about this is that their guesses about what the fox says are absurd. They're so stupid.
What the fox say? Hati, 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 ho. Hati, 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 ho.
Do you think it's hati, hati, hot ho?
It might
is that
not be
a possibility.
They may be taking some artistic license for that. But the other thing is, and you should go to krock.com or kevinbean.com and check out the video because it's posted. The song is awesome. We've proven that. Wait till you see the video of them running around in their little animal suits, though. It's awesome.
That and them dancing and just being ridiculous. So the song goes on, and they meet a horse. And how do they talk to a horse?
Your fur is red, so beautiful, like an angel in disguise. But if you meet a friendly horse,
Will you communicate by Morse?
I'm asking if a fox would communicate with a horse by Morse code. Certainly.
What does the fox say?
Now, do you think that this is just an internet novelty, or do you think that this is going to end up like Gangnam Style and actually become a hit record that makes the charts that people play on the radio for reals?
I think it'll be a hit, and I'll tell you why. It doesn't matter how nonsensical the lyrics are. It's super catchy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I super think so, too.
So you find yourself, and this is what's so annoying about it, is you find yourself singing it, humming it, you know, 2 hours after you've seen it. You go,
The secret of the fox. It's my favorite part. Ancient mystery. Somewhere deep in the woods. I know you're hiding.
Like that part you could hear in any EDM song and it sounds great.
Totally.
You're my guardian angel. When did that happen? When did the fox become our guardian angel? What sense does that make? Go to KROQ.com, watch the video, and then tweet it to all your friends and torture them. Monday morning, and that means we check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hi, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. Hey, listen, I see on TMZ.com this morning that TMZ Live is, getting some sort of an upgrade on the schedule? You're still staying at 4 o'clock on Channel 11 for us, though, right?
Right. We're just, today we debut all over the country on all the Fox stations, so it's a big day
wow.
for us.
Wow. Fantastic. Congratulations. Who in the newsroom gets the most fan mail from the viewers around the country?
Who
Tarzan?
Well, if you count the guys who write from prison... Kelly and Siobhan.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Good truth. Oh, so they have gotten my letters. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, Harvey, we always appreciate the time. We know how busy you are, particularly on Monday mornings getting caught up. But let's start with Lamar Odom. This story gets sadder and sadder, and you've got a new eyewitness interview that you're going to show on TMZ Live today with Paulina Polanski. Tell us about her, please.
She's a criminal defense lawyer who graduated from Pepperdine 3 years ago. Okay. She meets Lamar in May at the Roosevelt Hotel, and... it's a little weird, but she says, gee, how'd you like to move into my place? And he says, okay. And in June, he moves in with her for 6 weeks. And
this is while he was married, of course.
Correct.
Okay.
And he is, you know, she's going to work during the day because she's a criminal defense lawyer and she's in court. Lamar's doing drugs all day and doing crack in her house. And she finally talks about it, and we talked to her about it, and she's very frank. But he's doing crack in the house. She says it got out of control once he left, and she said the weight gain is shocking. I just found that, like, semi-amusing that a crack problem is not out of control at a point.
Yeah, she was fine with him doing that for 6 weeks in her house.
6 weeks at her house. And
why did she allow it?
Well, it's a good question. I don't have a good answer for you, but
were they romantically involved, Harvey?
It would seem there was something going on for sure because you know they met socially at the Roosevelt, and you know it's not like she needed a roommate, you know.
Yeah, he did move in with her, so.
But you know, it's interesting. There are reports out. The LA Times came out with a story a couple of days ago that Bob Shapiro. Who's been contacted by the Kardashian family to represent Lamar,
right.
That Bob Shapiro has put Lamar in a treatment program, and there are other reports about rehab. It's not true. I think what's happening is some of Lamar's friends, in quotes, are calling some media outlets and giving him bogus stories just to make it look a little better than it is. But he is not getting treatment. He's not in rehab, hasn't been in rehab, and it's a mess right
what
now.
What about the story that you put up on your site about his crack dealer cutting him off?
Well, it's not that this crack dealer is humanitarian. The reason is because the crack dealer is afraid that Lamar is so bad that he might die on his watch, and he doesn't want to get criminally prosecuted the way it happened with John Belushi.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, the crack dealer said, I'm out. But there are other ways Lamar can feed this habit. I mean, he knows other people, but it's a really bad and sad situation. And
it is.
And you know, he has struggled with addiction for a long time, and you know, just in the last 3 months, it's just gotten really, really bad.
One more question about this criminal defense attorney that, again, you'll show some of on TMZ Live today, Polina Polanski. Is she the one who had to deal with Khloe Kardashian coming and banging on the door to try to get her husband back out of there?
You will hear her talk about exactly what happened on TMZ Live. But, yes, Khloe came banging on the door, pulled Lamar out, and then she started getting these text messages from Lamar's phone saying, "You crackhead groupie blank." And she is convinced that Lamar did not write those things. Those were the fingers of Khloe Kardashian.
You do not want Khloe Kardashian using your phone to text people.
No.
I can't believe she would knock on a door and not just walk through it. I mean, Khloe, it doesn't seem like there's any door she couldn't knock.
Listen, one thing I got to say, you got to hand it to Khloe Kardashian. I mean, she has tried to handle this thing, you know, for 2 years. And has not been real successful, but she's really made an attempt to deal with this thing and to save this guy.
She certainly hasn't been seeking, you know, the press that she normally seeks.
That's right. That's right.
And that's admirable.
It is. It really is. I mean, she's really, really tried with this guy. And it's just a tough situation.
It is. Harvey Levin from PMZ.com on the phone with us as he does on Monday mornings here on the Kevin DeVinci. We got time for one more story, and this is was a surprise to me, the very frank chat that Wentworth Miller gave, I guess, in Seattle over the weekend. What's this all about, Harvey?
It really is. I mean, Wentworth Miller basically confesses that he has tried to kill himself multiple times.
And we should say he's an actor. He's well known, probably best known for the TV show Prison Break, but he recently just came out of the closet, right?
Came out of the closet really in protest to Putin's position in Russia against gays,
right,
and said he would not be going to a film festival there. Well, he spoke to a Human Rights Campaign committee over the weekend. We have the video up on the site, and he says that the first time he tried to kill himself, he tried to OD on pills in his house when he was 15, when nobody was home, and he said this was not a cry for help. He said you only cry for help when there's somebody there to help.
Right.
And he felt very alone, and it's a very relatable story. And he was basically living a lie, and he couldn't handle it. It was like his head was in a vice, and he talks about just the difficulty of coming to terms with who he is and the fear of all of it. But it really is moving.
Do you think it's more difficult for a guy like that who's gay to handle life if he's considered dreamy and women are all over him?
Of course.
I mean, because that's his deal. It's like a lot of women found him attractive.
Oh, my God.
He was a sex symbol, right?
A total sex symbol. I mean, this is, you know, it's the Rock Hudson syndrome where, you know, people are worried. And you know what? To some extent, rightly so, because there is a backlash in this town, no matter what anybody says.
There is still, but it's not as big.
Well, no. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that it's you know, people disliking gays.
Right.
I think what it is you've got a lot of studio people who say, no, we can't cast that person. He's gay. Nobody will believe that. And I believe that still exists.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, how stupid is that, Harvey, that people – look, we can believe that George Clooney is an astronaut, but we can't believe that Wentworth Miller might be attracted to a woman. We're watching a movie, for God's sake.
Okay. Just George Clooney – you know, forget George Clooney. That Rene Russo was a scientist in Outbreak.
Yeah.
And that when she took the helmet off, there wasn't a hair out of place.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, you can see the Wentworth Miller speech. You can get all the very latest on Lamar. Congratulations on the upgrade on the Fox schedule with TMZ Live. And, of course, you can see all your fine TMZ programming is right here on good old Channel 11 in L.A. Harvey, have a great week, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. See ya.
Last night, Sunday Night Football, I don't know if you saw it or not, it was the Giants-Cowboys, and despite 5 turnovers, the Giants were coming back at the end of the game and had a really good shot at winning.
Yep, it looked like it was going to be another one of those remarkable fourth-quarter comebacks for Eli Manning.
Until the aforementioned mouth-breathing Eli Manning threw a pretty bad pass to a running back who probably should have turned around a little quicker. And it kind of hit off his hand, and they intercepted it, and Cowboys ran it in, and that was pretty much that was the end of the game.
It's tough to win with 3 interceptions and 6 turnovers, that's for sure. But we like to catch up with Eli throughout the season. Let's see how he's doing this morning after a very, very tough loss against their division rivals, the Dallas Cowboys. Hi, Eli.
Hi. Eli.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm Eli.
Wow, you sound pretty happy for a guy who lost a crushing defeat last night.
You're not saying hi.
Hi. Oh, hi. Hi, Eli.
I'm
hi.
Eli.
Right. Yes, you are Eli. We actually knew that. Yes.
I'm 10.
You're number 10. You wear the number 10. That's right.
It's right here on my shirt. Look. Oh, no. It's 01.
No, you're like... It's 10. It's actually 10.
No, I'm looking at it right now at 01.
Right, but you're looking in the mirror? Looking,
yeah.
Oh, there you go. That's
oh, they
there.
Changed my number.
No.
Nope. It's just the mirror. It's just the way the mirror works.
Oh,
no, Eli,
my number.
You're still 10. You're still 10. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm 01.
So, what went wrong last night? Why all the turnovers? What happened?
I set a record this weekend. 7 touchdowns.
That
Yay!
Was you know that was your
7 touchdowns. Not since 1969 did it happen.
That was your brother.
That was Peyton. Actually, Peyton had he actually had the 7 touchdowns, no interceptions.
No, I saw on SportsCenter last night said Manning set record 7 touchdowns.
Right, but Peyton Manning. With the Denver Broncos, that your game they was play. Last night, and you threw right. 3 interceptions, and you lost to the Cowboys.
That explains why I don't remember it.
Yeah,
going so well.
It didn't go that well.
Yeah. I threw a lot of passes to a lot of different players.
Right, but you should throw it to people in Giants uniforms.
Well, they should have been more specific. they throw the ball.
Look. It's great that you and your brother are both Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, but it has to be tough on a week like this when everybody is comparing your performance to what Peyton did.
There's no comparison between me and Peyton.
Right.
First of all, 2 Super Bowl wins, 1 Super Bowl win.
Well, that's true, actually. You do have that.
Double-digit IQ.
Right.
Triple-digit IQ.
Right.
Breathe through the mouth. Breathe through the nose.
You, Peyton, right.
Chromosomal damage.
Oh, Eli.
No chromosomal damage. So we're very different. There's no comparison.
There's a win and a loss.
Hi. I play football.
Yes, you do.
And... my coach is very upset with me.
He does not seem like a happy coach. That's
he
true.
Is an angry guy on the best of days.
Yeah, that's true.
And now
true.
His little Irish face is all sweaty and red.
He does get pretty red.
I don't know what to do. He's going to burst a vein. So he's making us work out all day long.
Kind of a punishment.
Tough on a Monday.
So we get better.
Right. Yeah.
And I can't wait to get better.
Yeah, well.
I don't like the leprechaun yelling at me.
I'm
be scared, like that movie with Jennifer Aniston, Leprechaun.
That's right. Well, we're going to let you get back to it, Eli, but the good news is it's only one game. It's a long season. You can
right.
certainly recover from that.
And next week, I don't play anybody that's very good, I don't think.
Oh, who are the Giants playing next week? I don't know.
Oh, be funnier if you did.
I'm sorry, I haven't looked ahead at the schedule.
Denver Broncos.
Oh, wow.
It's brother against brother.
All right.
Yeah,
That would have been funnier.
Oh, no.
Not Eli. You can't be that nervous.
What happened?
The thought of going up against his brother. Eli, what happened?
I'm sick that I had to create the own ending to my bit.
4.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Meghan McCain joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She is the reality TV star whose father happens to be Senator John McCain. That's an interesting family right there. Plus, how nature tried to kill you. Coming up next hour. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Monday morning.
Should I do my John? Meghan, when she's on the phone?
For her, I would say yes.
Absolutely.
What could go wrong?
My friend,
she'd love it.
I think it's a good idea that everyone should smoke pot.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Riddick, number one, $18.7 million.
Vin Diesel, do you have any comments on your film being number one? You mortgaged your house to get it made.
My movie sucked.
That's it. That's all I got.
Wow. What's going on in the world where Kevin is turning on Vin Diesel? I don't even understand the world anymore.
I don't live here anymore.
It's terrible.
The Butler was number two, $8.9 million. Instructions not included. The groundbreaking Mexican film is just doing huge numbers here in the States. For a Mexican film, of course. $8.1 million. We're the Millers was fourth. Planes was fifth. One Direction, This Is Us, the documentary, from Morgan Spurlock. $4.1 million made it number six. Elysium was seventh, and Blue Jasmine, the Woody Allen film, was eighth. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, was ninth. And The World's End, top ten, right there.
Hey, Ralph Garman?
You!
I took your recommendation.
Oh!
And got me a little on-demand this weekend of Good Old Frida.
Oh, there you go.
Fascinating. You will very much enjoy it.
I'm looking forward to seeing it.
This is the movie Ralph told us about on Friday about the young woman. She was 17 at the time. She was hired to be the Beatles' personal secretary.
Oh, right.
And she worked for them for the all the way until they split up. She worked for them for their entire recording career.
Yeah.
And just the sweetest lady in the world, and the stories, and the access. Really, really interesting if you're a fan of the Beatles or that that time period.
Who gives a damn?
She boned them all of them at the same time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
At the same time?
She declined to admit whether she dated any of them, but she certainly had crushes on all of them.
It's Jennifer Lopez versus Tadoff Switler.
Lopez. Easy call.
They are not happy with each other. According to sources, Taylor Swift is upset with J-Lo because her people and J-Lo was rude to Taylor's staff when she appeared at her L.A. concert. When Taylor was playing here, J-Lo showed up, apparently, and everyone backstage, including Taylor's staff, had to agree not to look her in the eye or speak to her without permission.
Is that true?
We hear this so often about her.
It's
got to be true, right?
I don't know how you get to a point where you can say to people, I don't want anyone to look me in the eye or talk to me. How do you get to that point?
Well, I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know. But now, Tadoff Switler is upset with her.
Well, that's fine with me. Now I'm all right with it. But as long as she's the only one that's being made mad.
Speaking of J-Lo, she's not just doing American Idol. She's also been cast in an upcoming film called The Boy Next Door, where she will reportedly play a single mom who becomes attracted to the teenage boy who moves in next door and befriends her son. She starts and then ends the romance, but apparently he doesn't want to let it go so easily. Well, of course not. He's boning Jennifer Lopez.
No kidding.
Right.
What teenage boy would want to give that up? It's amazing what her schedule looks like. American Idol. She's going to be the judge on there.
Right.
She's going to be shooting this movie, apparently.
Right.
As far as I know, she's still working on her recording career. She dances all the time.
She
all kinds of appearances. Yeah.
She's got kids.
I mean, how do you find the time in a life, in a schedule, to do all of those things? How can you make all of that happen?
I can't imagine.
And so, you know, I started to think about it, and I would ponder it, and I ponder it, and then I think I may have come to a conclusion that there's always room for J-Lo!
Yeah! Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there.
Thank you very much. And this is madness. This is, as Kevin would say, stupid and absurd. It's been announced. You know, the Wizard of Oz coming back on screens for a short period of time in IMAX and 3D.
Right.
A classic beloved movie. I get that. It's been announced this season that there are four new television dramas based on The Wizard of Oz that are all going to be on television this fall.
What?
Four Wizard of Oz shows.
It seems to happen a lot. Where there's a grouping of three or four of the exact same topic. Like the end of the world.
Sometimes
it'll
be
the end of the world this
summer. Yeah, there'll be a genre. So
right.
those are apocalyptic movies, right? Where people have to deal with the end of the world. But it's not all based on the same freaking book. We didn't have like four Die Hard movies with different casts in it in theaters, did we? This is all Wizard of Oz shows. Four of them.
Yeah.
CW is doing one based on the upcoming young adult novel Dorothy Must Die.
Okay.
CBS is doing a medical show called Dorothy based on characters from the book. Sci-Fi is doing one called Warriors of Oz. And then NBC just picked up a new drama called Emerald City.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
We don't need that.
No.
Find another book, television. There are a few books.
You do have to think at some point they would say, wow, that's being covered. Let's do something else.
Yeah. They're doing that one? Okay. Well, we won't do our Wizard of Oz show. Then we'll I don't know, maybe pick an original script or a different book or something.
Yeah.
Madness. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Michelle Williams is 33 years old today. Jazz singer, pop singer as well, Michael Bublé. He is 38. Adam Sandler, actor, comedian, successful filmmaker. You say that with an exclamation point. 47 years old today. Actor Hugh Grant is 53. And actor Eric Stone Street, one of our favorites around here, plays Cam, of course, on Modern Family. He is 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Meghan McCain on the program later on today. I think we mentioned we're going to be talking about her, talking to our good friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, coming in a recap of week one. We got that twerking video that is making the rounds on the internet. We will decide whether it is real or fake.
Real.
I don't know how we're going to be able to do that. Plus, Depeche Mode tickets all on the way here on the Kevin Bean, Sean Kerouac this morning for Monday.
First, we're going to talk about nature trying to kill you. Let's be honest. Some of us are targeted.
I mean, yeah, really, I think some people have really bad luck.
They really do. And some people have multiple times they have really bad luck.
Yeah.
Look, you know, this is me, Bean speaking, and you know that I am obsessed with and terrified of death. And the deaths that get me the craziest are the ones where a meteor comes out of the sky and kills you in your bed. I mean, things like that happen where you just go, how, why, who, where? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like yeah. Or a hole opens up in the earth when you're laying in your bed.
Yes.
And swallows
Thank
your
you,
house.
Lisa. A couple months ago, we had that guy. Wasn't he in Florida? I think yes. He might have been in Florida, where he literally hasn't gotten out of bed for the day yet.
Yeah.
And through no fault of his own, through nothing that he did, a sinkhole opened up and swallowed his room. And he was gone so fast, and he was so deep within the earth that I don't know that they ever even went in and retrieved the body.
I think they did.
I think they may have just walked away from it. It's just insane when, I mean, nature, look, we all know from seeing that tsunami video in Japan a couple of years ago that nature is a mother effer. Nature wins. If nature decides it's your time, look at Katrina, look at the hurricanes in Oklahoma. I mean, all they have to do is decide it's on and you lose. Like, nature always wins. And that's why we want to talk to people who have almost been killed by nature. We want you to give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. If something freaky has happened to you where nature just decided that they were going to go for you, and when you somehow managed to survive it, we want to hear from you. There are two stories in the news just from this past week, for instance, that exactly demonstrates what we're talking about. This video, one of these dash cam videos of this guy in Taiwan who's going down the road, and there's this giant, I guess there's a storm going on. Does it look like
it looks like
a big storm?
Yeah. Mudslide.
Big storm going on with a mudslide, and this boulder that looks like the type of thing you would see in some sort of summer action movie, like right out of Independence Day or something, this boulder that's like 30 feet across just comes tumbling off the mountain and just hit right in front of his car. Just boom, right off. You see it right off the dash cam. Just unbelievable. Like another 1 second and that thing would have squashed him like a bug.
Yeah. Yeah, but didn't.
So yeah. But did.
Now, do you think that guy's more confident going on? Like, I just survived nature's one attack on me.
Or he's hiding under his bed for the rest of his life.
I'm set.
I don't know.
I don't know either, because
that's the way I look at it. I look at it like, what are the chances a sinkhole is going to open up and swallow me, or I'm going to get hit by lightning or whatever? So if I do once, like this dude that was riding a motorcycle in Seattle, this is the second story that just happened. He was riding a motorcycle. There was a storm, and lightning hit him right in the helmet. Went right down through his bike, lit up.
And he's a moving target, too.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And it's such a surprise because he's on a motorcycle. Why would lightning hit him and not what must have been lots of other targets around him, which would be other higher cars and trucks on the road? Why would lightning not go to the higher point?
They said that it basically was a direct hit through the helmet. And you would think, like, that guy, he dead.
Yeah.
He was.
Absolutely.
He was fine. He got picked up on the side of the road. They took him to a gas station. Why? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then they ended up taking him to a hospital. And he had some burns on his ears and stuff like that. But
that's amazing.
Dude got struck by lightning while riding a motorcycle and is okay. Now, if I'm that guy, I'm like, that's it. I win.
Yeah.
Now, what are the chances that's going to happen twice?
We're going to take your calls on Nature Tried to Kill You at 1-800-520-1067 in just a moment. By the way, speaking to this Seattle motorcyclist, I heard a lot about this, obviously, on the radio here. And people were saying God was really looking out for this guy. To which I say, hell no, God wasn't looking out for this guy. He was riding out his motorcycle and got hit by lightning. If God was looking out for anybody, it was me who didn't get hit by lightning that day.
It was everybody else in Seattle.
Right? I mean, isn't he the one guy who could say God wasn't looking out for him that day? Because otherwise he wouldn't have burns on his ears from getting struck by lightning.
I suppose they say that because he's still alive.
Yes.
I suppose that's the rationale. But
I mean,
right?
Partly because even if the lightning didn't kill you, the crash when you got hit by lightning certainly could have.
You would certainly think so, yeah.
Lisa, because this guy is Superman, he managed to pull over on the shoulder. He did not crash his bike. He pulled over and got off his motorcycle on the side of the road.
And then he flipped off God and got a ride to a
gas station. Impressive.
This guy, seriously, talk about grace under pressure. You get hit by lightning and you don't even wipe out. That's incredible.
Did he signal? Do you know?
He probably
did. He signal to the right with his arm?
All right, 1-800-520-1067. How did nature almost kill you? Let's start with Leah. Leah is on line 3 here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and let's find out what's going on. I have a feeling that we're all going to feel very lucky after we hear these stories this morning. Hi, Leah. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hi. So, I have two.
Two?
One, I know. I have for the longest time said nature's out to get me, and I have a healthy fear of nature.
Okay.
The first is, I was walking to my friend's engagement party, and I slipped on a pine cone in the parking lot, fell, hit my head, basically, like, face first into the parking lot. The only place I hit was my head.
Yeah.
I mean, to preface that by saying that I've had a brain tumor before, and so my brain's a little wacky anyway.
Wait a minute, though.
So I had
Hold
to go-
on a second, because we're talking about nature trying to kill you. You slipped on a pine cone.
I mean, well, who put the pine cone there, though, Kevin?
I know, but that's sort of on you for being a klutz, no?
No, fully. But then, so this was like, whatever. And then, this is me being klutzy, it's fine. But then, a tree
I'm hearing that brain tumor right now, by the way. That brain tumor's shining through, Leah.
Wait, but then a tree fell on you?
A tree fell on me.
On you?
In my driveway.
Okay.
On me in my car. I was walking in my car to get in my car, looking for my keys and my purse, and a tree was just on me in a second.
It hit you, knocked you to the ground.
Yeah, I had some scratches. And mostly my car sort of like braced it so it didn't fully like crush me.
Right. But it's clear that nature hates you.
Yes.
All right, Leah. Well, be careful. Wear a hard hat, okay?
I've been told that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Thanks for the call.
Good advice.
I had a tree fall on my house. Remember the big storm 7 or 8 years ago? Something like that. A tree fell and bounced off of the roof of my house. Thank God. Missed where I was sleeping.
Proving there is no God.
And then bounced off of the roof of my house.
Because he doesn't answer prayers.
And then just bisected my car. Just went right through my car.
Cut it in half. No kidding.
Cut it in half. Just completely totaled it in 1 second. That was nature. I don't know if they were trying to kill me or they just hated my car. I'm not sure.
Could be. Just didn't like the car.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Got some great calls on the line here. Julie, Kim, Patrick, you hang on. We want to take your calls, too. Nature tried to kill you. How? You're next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Definitely sweater weather. I think it actually got, it was under 100 one day this weekend, wasn't it?
99.
Yes.
I mean, maybe
yesterday
a sweater or light coat, at least. Windbreaker, maybe something like that. Going to keep it cool. Hey, we're taking your phone calls on how nature tried to kill you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about mudslides, tornadoes, sinkholes, lightning. 1-800-520-1067. Patrick is up next. He's on line 4 to get us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Patrick, thanks for calling and thanks for holding on. What happened, man?
Hey, I was on a hike in on the Winding Way Trail in Malibu.
Uh-huh.
It's a really beautiful spot. Went up to this nice tranquil pool with a waterfall coming down into it. And it was probably about a 7,500-foot waterfall. And my buddy Shane and I were just hanging out, relaxing by the waterfall, and I hear a little trickle of rocks falling down. And all of a sudden, about a 75-pound rock explodes right next to me.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
And I looked up at him, and I was just white, and I was frozen. I couldn't move, and rocks were kind of still following me. He's yelling at me, get out of the way, move, go, go, God. Move. And I finally just kind of jumped out of the way, and all these rocks were trickling down, and this was 10 days before my wedding.
Wow. Well, that's irrelevant to the story, but...
Well, maybe his fiance was up at the top of the waterfall throwing rocks. Yeah,
exactly. Well, maybe.
we didn't talk much on the way back. It was just so crazy. I didn't know what to say after that day.
It's just, it's so random because, I mean, literally, if you were a few feet in a different direction, it would have, it could have easily fallen on you and killed you. I mean, that's how thin the line is between life and death. It's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, it was no more than 2 feet away from me. It was pretty unbelievable.
But now you're set. Now, I mean, that was nature's one good shot and it missed.
Oh, is that how it works? They're only allowed to try once?
Yeah, it gets one good shot and then it's got to give up.
Patrick, thanks for the call. Let's go to Julie. Julie's on line one. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Julie.
Hi. So on my 10th birthday, it was pouring rain, and as a child, you want to go play in the rain.
Sure.
So I was about to open the door to go outside, and lightning hit a tree that was about 10 feet in front of me. I turned around, ran back, dove under my grandma's bed, and to this day, I still hate lightning. Like, it scares the crap out of me.
It is a well-known fact that lightning cannot strike your grandmother's bed. That is true. That is the safest place to go.
It really is.
So you didn't even get outside. You were on your way outside, and it hit.
Yeah. Opening the door, about to go run outside and frolic in the rain, and it was like,
yeah.
I was like, oh,
my God, that'd be terrifying.
Nature said, frolic this.
Exactly. Thank you, Julie. By the way, we're talking about all these ways that nature could kill you. We didn't even include animals in the list, by the way.
Right.
Paul writes in on the Kevin Bean Facebook page, because that's nature, too. Hey, screw hornets, you guys. So what if I stepped on your nest? You don't have to chase me down and try to murder me with 30 stings.
Oh.
So nature tried to kill him with hornets. Let's try Kim up next. She's on line two here on the Kevin Bean Show.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thank you. What happened?
I was about 5 or 6, and I was swimming at Pine Flats on the houseboat vacation, and I got stuck in a whirlpool that was about 4 or 5 feet in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom came into the whirlpool to try to rescue me, and she got stuck in it.
So you were trying desperately to swim out, but you couldn't.
Correct. And there was a patch of about 5 or 6 of these whirlpools. We happened to get sucked into the biggest one.
Oh, my God.
And the man that was on the vacation with us had found a beach chair that was just left on the shore, and he folded it, and he swam beneath us and put the beach chair, like, at the base of the whirlpool to break the suction, and he pulled us out.
What?
Oh, my gosh. So if that beach chair is not randomly left there, what happens to little 5-year-old Kim?
Okay. Right? You think my kids are allowed to swim? No one's doing anything.
not a swimming pool, not a lake, nothing.
They can't take
They've
a bath.
Never seen the ocean.
They look like LaRue from Gidget, and I have them covered under, umbrellas, and they can watch from a distance.
You stop washing your hands.
That's right.
I could kill you.
That's right.
All right, Kim, thanks for the call. Let's do one more real quick. How about Daniel? He's on line three. He's up next at the Kevin Beach Show. Daniel, how did nature try to wipe you out?
Last summer, me and my wife went up to the top of Mount Whitney, and we got trapped in a lightning storm.
Sweet.
And we had to sprint the last 5 miles down the hill to the tree line because we were the only things up there that lightning could hit.
Oh, my God.
Sprint 5 miles.
Downhill, the paths are like a foot wide. So you have a cliff on one side, and we had water just pouring down over the trail. We're just sprinting, trying to get out of there.
But you don't have to be the fastest runner alive. You just have to be faster than your wife.
Because
then she's higher on the mountain, and then the lightning hits her.
Good thinking, Kevin.
Right?
Yeah, we're actually the last people down the trail before they closed it. The forestry closed it down and forced people into shelters.
Wow.
I think I'm with Kevin, man. I think you missed an opportunity there. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network with a complete recap of week one joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And by the way, looking ahead toward tomorrow, you know who's going to be here tomorrow, Kevin?
No.
That's right.
Kurt Sutter,
creator of Sons of Anarchy, joins us in studio tomorrow. That's an interview we have been looking forward to for a long time.
And that show comes back tomorrow night.
I know. Oh. So excited. Speaking of shows, by the way, debuting this coming Saturday night on a network that I'm not sure really exists called Pivot is a new show called Raising McCain. The star is Meghan McCain, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Meghan, how are you? Tell me about Pivot, first
Good
of all.
Good morning. I know. No one knows what it is because it just launched. It's just a brand new network that just launched. You can get it on most cable providers, and it's kind of like MTV News was in the 90s, hopefully. It's a network for millennials that's supposed to be intelligent but inspiring entertainment.
All I know is I tuned in, and they were playing nothing but Friday Night Lights reruns over the weekend. That's all I saw.
That's all they have right now. Launch and Farscape, but pretty soon you'll be able to get my show, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt has a show coming out on it too, so there'll be some new content, but right now it's just Farscape.
Well, I saw episode one of your show, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, besides the fact that I've been a fan of yours for a long time, because you're hot and I'm simple.
Oh, thank you.
It is very much in the style of 90s MTV. I mean, I totally could see like Tabitha Soren doing a show just like this back in the day. It's kind of a talk show where you talk about issues and thoughts that people in their 20s have, but it's in no way a traditional talk show. How do you describe it to people who don't know anything about your program?
Well, that's music to my ears. You know, I met Tabitha Soren when I was 14 years old, and I just thought she was the coolest chick I'd ever seen, because, you know, my dad's in politics, and everyone was just suits, and I thought she was so cool. So I've been very much inspired by the things I grew up on MTV News, and now MTV doesn't care about educating young people in any way. And I don't want to make it too heady, because I'm not here to preach to anyone. The show isn't earnest. It's fun. We drink whiskey on it.
All right.
And I just wanted a mix between, there has to be something between cable news and the Kardashians, and we're trying to do that, and I think we've mildly succeeded.
Do you try to, you saw so much politics with your dad when he was running for president. Do you try to stay away from politics some, because it just is such a dirty business?
You know, what's so weird is I find it brought into my life a lot. I was, like, sort of hanging out with this guy, and then he texted me this stuff about Syria, and people bring it into my life even when I don't.
Right.
And politics will always be a part of my life, but I am sick of cable news. I'm sick of left versus right. I'm sick of Americans being pitted against each other, which is why I decided to do a show like this. So, but politics is always in my life every day.
Right, but you don't talk about politics as much as you talk about issues, and I've seen the list of some of the things you're going to be tackling this season on season one, and it just seems like you're a 28-year-old woman who wants to understand your own feelings about the world we live in, and that's what you're out trying to explore, is you're kind of trying to learn, like, what do I think about this? Who can I talk to that will put this, make this clear for me? And I think that's awesome that you're doing that, because I feel like most people your age, Megan, just don't care enough to invest any time in thinking about how they think about things.
I think young people are really engaged, but every episode is something that's drawn from my life. And I had a pitch meeting a while ago for a show, How Has Technology Killed Dating? And I've had a similar experience happen to me. And I was like, technology is killing romance and dating. And that was an episode.
Why do guys think that's a good idea?
Why do guys do this? Never do that.
I can't answer that.
Do that. I'm telling you, women, I don't like it. Women don't like it.
So you're saying some women like it.
I don't know one woman that likes it.
Are you the only talk show host who consistently uses, who swears as much as you do, Megan?
I swear so much. I'm so worried about what America's going to think because they don't bleep me. I am a sailor. I have the trashiest mouth ever, which I've kind of curbed, but I don't know. I think it's real.
I think Deborah Morgan on Dexter may be the only person on TV who drops more F-bombs than you do, Megan.
I know. My mother's so embarrassed. Like, it's Catholic school. It's whatever.
Your mom and dad must respond to your language and you're drinking whiskey and stuff like that and go, hey, tone that down just a bit.
You know, they're pretty cool at this point. In the beginning, they were like, can you just try and calm down a little bit? But I am who I am. And my dad was quite wild once upon a time, and I try and bring that in. But there are worse things than drinking a little whiskey and dropping an F-bomb.
That's what I'm talking about.
This is the voice of Meghan McCain here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about her new show called Raising McCain that debuts this Saturday night on the Pivot Network. That's PIVOT if you want to check it out. One of the things that I think is interesting about you, Megan, that a lot of people on TV won't do is not be in the partisan box. I mean, you identify as a Republican, but you certainly don't agree with everything that the Republican Party has as official policy. I mean, it seems like you are the kind of person who makes everyone crazy. The Democrats have things to dislike about you and the Republicans. What's that like for you?
I know. I just think I'm like a lot of average Americans. I think most people have views on the right side of the aisle and the left side of the aisle. I'm pretty fiscally conservative. I'm really strong supporter of the military, strong national defense. I just think gay people should have the same rights as straight people, and apparently that makes me a heretic to some people in the Republican Party. But trends are changing and times are changing, and I still believe I'm on the right side of history.
I've always thought that the boxes that you are in, if you believe everything the Republican Party says, there's something wrong with you. And it's a pretty small group, I think, because I don't think they really stand for – I think most people are more complicated than each party.
I agree. I totally agree. And I think both parties are really failing us. But I just think the Republican Party, if they want to have any future whatsoever, they have to reach out to young people and minorities and women. And we are losing those voters at staggering rates. And people can talk about me all day long, but I feel like I live in the real world and I'm not lying about the kind of life I lead. And the Republican Party is going to want people like me and attempt to win an election.
Say that word. We can't say that word on the air, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
In our remaining moments here, Megan, what are some of the other topics that you tackle on your show this season that you're excited for people to see?
Oh, I'm excited. We do Coming Out in America, what happens when your values clash with your family's values, millennial veterans, dating, technology killing dating, bullying. There's a bunch of issues, but it's really fun. Again, I'm not here to lecture people. I'm just trying to figure it all out, and I have this amazing show that I've had so much fun doing to try and get there.
Why do you play kickball on an upcoming episode?
Oh, my gosh. They made me play all the – I'm not athletic at all. And they made me do all these dumb sports. I hung from a trapeze. We played kickball for this, like, outdoor barbecue
First
with
of all,
veterans.
Kickball is a great sport. Let's not diminish that.
If you see the clip of it, I'm holding a beer while we're kicking.
Of course. That's how you play kickball.
I was so disinterested in kickball.
So try to top that, Anderson Cooper. Why don't you? All right, the Pivot Network, this Saturday night, the show is called Raising McCain. I definitely think people should check it out. I think they're going to enjoy it. Megan, you are a lot of fun. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin Beach. I hope we talk to you again sometime.
Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
So I'm a little confused. Megan McCain was saying, do send penis pictures to girls?
Yeah.
That's what she said, right?
That was the takeaway. Okay. I think the takeaway was.
All right, good.
Hey, before we get into Ralph Showbiz Beat here on a Monday morning, who wants to go see Depeche Mode at Staples Center? We're going to give you a chance to win those tickets right now. They're playing September 28th, 29th, and October 2nd. If you want to go, call now 1-800-520-1067, but you will have to earn them. We're going to be playing a little game we like to call Lick Lisa, coming up right after the
Depeche
top of the
Yellow Mode?
We are not today, I'm
Depeche
sorry.
Yellow Mode?
Not today.
Lick Joe Pesci talks about ice cream trivia. We're not doing Depeche Yellow Mode?
I think we may save that for later in the week. That's our big show closer. Come on Friday. What are you talking about? Anyway, Lick Lisa contestants, call now. We'll get to you right after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
It's a Monday morning. Means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office from over the weekend. Riddick, number one. During a lackluster box office weekend, just $18.7 million.
How'd you like the end of that movie, Kevin?
Did not see it.
I'm bored.
Did not see it. I walked out.
I got
back on Potterbots because it's stupid and absurd. I did not like it.
If I'm not drunk 24/7.
I do not like it. I can walk out. I stumble out, but I walk out.
So boring.
What was the basic problem with it? Just the story didn't move fast enough?
It was all Vin Diesel. And by the way, he's not really the guy. Yeah, if there's one person on screen, who is it? Tom Hanks with the volleyball on the island or whatever
that
was?
Yeah.
If there's one person on the screen, it needs to be somebody besides Vin Diesel.
No, I'm there to hold your attention all time.
It just was boring as can be.
Well, people went.
I left. I hope it ended well.
People went. More than any other film this weekend. The Butler, however, was number two with just about $9 million. Then the Mexican film Instructions Not Included came in with a little over $8 million, made it number three. We're the Millers was fourth. Planes was fifth. One Direction, This Is Us, the documentary, sixth at the box office this weekend. By the way, if you get a chance, do yourself a favor. Go online. And find yourself the video of one of the One Direction guys playing in a charity soccer match and getting kicked in the leg and reacting to the pain by proceeding to vomit all over the pitch.
Oh, no.
Yep. Yeah, that happened. One Direction cat just
I love it so much.
Just fertilizing the pitch there with his innards.
Absolute pure genius! Fabulous!
Stand up and applaud.
I don't think that
this one is top of the charts.
Not that one. Bro.
Ah, that is exquisite.
Not that one.
That is orgasmic. Mozart-like. It's just pure perfection. Beautiful. All the chemicals are bubbling, and all the equation comes out right in the end.
Yeah, the equation came out, and the chemicals were bubbling. That's true. It
bubbled right out of his gut. It's like waving to the crowd. I'm okay. Just one of those. Filtered through the fingers, trying
absolute
to hold it in.
Pure genius!
No, right. I don't think that's
Rainbird sprinkler style vomit.
It was, love it.
Good stuff. Which one was it? Was it Monty or Leonard? Who was it? Which one threw up?
Clifton, I think.
Oh, Clifton. He's my favorite.
Yeah. I literally can't remember which one it was.
Yeah.
The only one cares? I really know is Harry. I know there's a Harry.
Yeah. Right.
And there's a Liam, I think. I
don't there's
think
it was, a Zane.
It, was in one, it wasn't a Zane. Give me another one.
I don't know any of the
I think
other
I'll
ones.
I'll know it if I hear it.
It's One Direction puke. Who cares?
Yeah, it's One Direction puke.
Yeah.
Love Elysium, it. Seventh. Blue Jasmine, which I saw over the weekend. Boy, is that a great film from Woody Allen. Eighth at the box office. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters. And then The World's End, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Congratulations to Jean-Luc Picard. Patrick Stewart of Star Trek fame got married over the weekend. The 73-year-old icon got married to 35-year-old jazz singer Sonny Orzel. Sir Ian McKellen, Magneto himself, was officiating the affair. So, by all accounts, good time was had by all.
Make it so, number one.
I'd give you an A for effort, but this isn't UC Santa Cruz.
While we're talking about Star Trek and Legends, I missed out on the most important thing that happened ever in the history of entertainment Friday night.
How did
what?
You...
Had I known, I would have been there. I did not know in time. I did not know in time.
What happened Friday night? I'm not aware of this either.
The Salt Lake City Comic Con... Friday night in Salt Lake City at the Comic-Con.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing. And on stage together for the first time, William Shatner and Adam West took the stage together.
Wow.
For the first time in history.
Wow.
They took the stage and they did comedy bits and they were riffing and improvising and doing Q&A and cutting up. It was the meeting of two legends for the first time ever in front of an audience.
They are both great at stuff like that. I can just imagine together. That's awesome.
Everybody who was there said it was truly, truly entertaining. And I was not there.
Well.
Stupid, absurd that I was not there.
How did Kevin get involved in this?
I had nothing to do with that.
He's on my side.
Come on.
Interesting casting news on television. I don't know about you guys. Maybe it's a twisted sense of curiosity or the fact that I do love Michael J. Fox, but I'm looking forward to this new show.
Yeah, I don't care.
I'll check it out.
You don't care about the new show?
Not really.
I'm fascinating.
I'm happy for him. I don't have any ill will. I just don't care.
But it's fascinating that they're going to deal with his Parkinson's as part of the plot line of this series. I don't think it's ever been done before in a television show where someone's actual illness has been worked in.
It depends on how they do it. I'm a little afraid it's going to be a little...
Depressing?
No, like cheesy.
Maudlin?
No, just poorly done, like a gimmick. You know?
My fear is the opposite, which is that I'm going to be uncomfortable watching his Parkinson's.
I think the purpose of the show, a large part of it, is to get you over that, is to make you comfortable, to make it sort of just mundane, and it's just something this guy has, and they're going to just treat it as such, just as another
You'll detail. Want it after you see this, B.
I dislike handicapped people. Though. Remember that about me, Ralph.
That's true. Anyway, casting news. His mom and dad on the new show are going to be played by Candace Bergen. And Charles Grodin will be playing his dad. I haven't seen Charles Grodin work in years.
Wow.
He's always entertaining. So, that could be good stuff. Matt Lauer apparently plays himself in the pilot. Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey also is doing an episode.
Wow.
Anne Heche is going to be on the show. And okay. Fox's wife, Tracy Pollan, is also guest starring, however not playing his wife on the show, which I think she needs to have a conversation with her husband. Why can't he throw a little love to the significant other and give her a regular gig? I have no idea. But I'm looking forward to it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Michelle Williams is 33 years old. Pop and jazz singer Michael Bublé celebrates his 38th birthday. He should just be Michael Bubble, right? Can we just get over
that?
Serious
nice.
With his attitude.
I agree. Stupid accent
ooh,
mark.
Put the emphasis on the other syllable. Bublé. Bite me, Michael Bubble. Adam Sandler's 47 years old.
I'm eventually trying to one day tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get there,
no.
But
I'm slowly letting pieces of myself out there, and then maybe by the time I'm 85, I'll look back and say, all right, that about summed it up.
Yeah, you're a great filmmaker, Adam Sandler. You really, too, try to bring the truth to every grown-up sequel that you put out there. We really we appreciate your never-ending quest to tell the truth about the human condition.
Yeah!
When you're playing the devil's son and you're peeing on the side of a building and all those truthful moments you've given us, just stick your head in an oven.
Wow.
Hugh Grant is 53 years old today, and one of our favorites, Eric Stone Street from Modern Family. Cam, of course, 42 years old today. Wonder how he's feeling about Kansas City. You know, he's a Kansas City boy.
Oh, is he?
Now that my boy Andy Reid has left Philadelphia, he's coaching over there.
Only half of Andy Reid is coaching.
And they crushed yesterday. They had a really good game. So.
Beat Pittsburgh, right?
Yeah. No. No. Not Pittsburgh.
Some other team.
Some other team that was
some other
Pittsburgh.
Team. Okay.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I believe we're about to see some hot girl-on-girl action here in the studios this morning as we play Lick Lisa.
Right here.
Is that a surprise?
Well, you were quick.
Yes. Lick Lisa. I think you'll find it's hard. Yeah. But if you do, Lick Lisa, yeah, something hot's waiting for you.
Yeah. Lick, Lick Lisa. 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 But keep clear of her vagina.
Oh, stupid rules. All right.
Can we change those rules at any point?
I don't think so. I think we'd have to go back to the FCC.
Lick Lisa is the game that we're playing today for Depeche Mode tickets at Staples Center. They have three big nights coming up, September 28th, 29th, and October the 2nd. Our associate producer, Christine, in studio with us now here on the Kevin Beach Show. You're going to be doing the licking. Now, the way this, hey, there's an Afro caller out there who's very excited that Christine is back in here. The way this game is played, Kevin, and it's been a while since we played it, is I ask a question. Lisa answers first. The answer is always a number, right? Then we have the caller tell us whether that guess from Lisa is right on or if the actual answer is higher or lower. If they're right, not only does Christine lick Lisa, but they go into the drawing to win Depeche Mode tickets. So I have it all?
That's correct.
Okay.
We begin with Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Dennis is a student at Cal State Northridge.
All right, Dennis, listen up. Remember, Lisa answers first. Depeche Mode was formed in England way back in 1980. They took their name from a French magazine called the same thing, Depeche Mode, which translates in English to fashion news. Speaking of magazines, Lisa, according to the MediaMark Research and Intelligence Company, how long does the average reader spend reading an issue of a magazine? How long does the average reader spend reading the issue of a magazine?
Well, if they're like me, then I'm going to say about 45 minutes.
45 minutes? I can go through an entire library of magazines in that amount of time. Dennis, is
that... Well, there are some that actually require reading.
Is that an actual... Is that dead on, or is the real answer higher or lower?
I'm going to say lower.
Lower?
Lower, but check it out. 43 minutes is the answer.
All right.
Nicely done.
You licked Lisa. Congratulations. You're the drawing. Christine, where are you going to hit her?
Since this is my first time,
yes.
Maybe I'll do an intro like on your hand or something.
Oh, okay. She's being so sweet.
That was practically a kiss.
Yeah. Sweet.
There's nothing there. All right, let's go to Joanna, market researcher. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Joanna. Lisa.
Hi, Joanna. You're playing for Depeche Mode tickets. Good luck. Founding Depeche Mode member Martin Gore does it all. He's the band's chief songwriter. He also plays guitar, keyboards, and sings, but is no relation to former Vice President of the United States Al Gore. Your question, Lisa. How many years was the former second lady Tipper Gore married to Al before she couldn't take his BS anymore and they divorced in 2010? How many years were Tipper and Al Gore married?
I'm going to say 34 years.
34 years. Joanna, is that right on, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
Lower.
I'm sorry. They were married for 40 years when they divorced. Thank you for playing anyway.
I'm on fire.
Lisa's on fire.
Good guesses.
All right, let's go to Denise, the sales rep. Hi, Denise.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm very sad that there was no licking on that last question.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right, listen up. Remember, Lisa answers first. Here's your question. Arcade Fire, Linkin Park, Coldplay, and many other bands have named Depeche Mode as a tremendous influence on them musically. One act that has not publicly said so is the Norwegian duo called Ylvis, which 1 week ago brought us this song.
That's
right, the song, What Does the Fox Say? As of right now, this second, how many YouTube views does What Does the Fox Say have? Lisa May.
I'm going to say 11,850,002.
Denise, is that right on, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
Oh, good Lord, higher.
I'm sorry. It's close, though. 11,206,613 is where we're at. But I'm sorry, you don't lick Lisa. You don't have a chance at the tickets. Thanks for playing.
All right, let's go to Jude, who works at a hotel front desk.
Hey,
hi, Jude.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So far, only Dennis is in the in the running for these tickets. So good
luck.
Going
to be a hell of a drawing.
Yeah, I have a good feeling for this. We can
All right.
My perfect old Jesusita.
All right. Jesusita. Depeche Mode's first chart single in the United States came in 1984 and was called People Are People. The song was recorded at the famous Hansa Ton Studio in Berlin, Germany. Berlin was also the name of the band that sang the song Take My Breath Away from the film Top Gun. Lisa, your question. To date, what is the worldwide box office take of Top Gun?
Oh, wow.
Was that 1982?
86, I think, is when that movie came out, yeah.
We
started out talking about Depeche Mode, yeah. And we ended up on Top Gun. But what's the worldwide gross of Top Gun?
I'm going to say $650 million.
Jude, is that exactly right, or is the answer higher or lower?
I'm going to say lower.
Yes, it is lower. It was $356,830,601. Congratulations, you've licked Lisa.
Good job, Jude.
Jude right. Felt good
Get
about it.
Get over here, hot stuff.
Lisa's been looking forward to this.
Neck.
Oh, nice.
Although she doesn't...
She doesn't linger.
She doesn't linger at all.
She does better than anyone else.
Oh, all right.
Hey, tell you that. Hey.
I think we only have time for one more question, okay. Right?
Robert.
Morning.
Hi. Morning. Welcome to Lick Lisa.
All right. Master and Servant, Personal Jesus, and Strange Love are all classic Depeche Mode songs. So are Just Can't Get Enough, Never Let Me Down Again, Barrel of a Gun, and Everything Counts. The band also made the very popular Question of Lust, Enjoy the Silence, I Feel You, and Blasphemous Rumors, plus Walking in My Shoes. And don't forget Policy of Truth and Somebody. Lisa, how many Depeche Mode songs did I name in this question?
Oh, you bastard. 17.
Is that exactly right, Robert, or is the answer higher or lower?
Lower?
Yes, 14.
There you go.
Nice try, though. Congratulations. Christine, lick away. This is your last lick, baby. Make it count.
Make it good now, for God's sake.
Make it count.
Oh, nice. All right, we'd have to mix these up. She did a fabulous
job. It's all right.
You can take some lessons from her.
Is it Dennis, Jude, and Robert? Is that who's in the drawing?
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to let Christine pick.
Only one can win.
All right, go ahead.
It is Jude.
Jude, congratulations.
Way to go, Jude.
Right. Thank you.
Good job.
Jude is the guy that said that Lisa was his personal Jesusito?
Yes.
Jesusito,
is that
right.
What you said?
Right.
Congratulations,
you
and thanks for playing the game.
Lick, lick Lisa, lick Lisa, but keep clear of her vagina.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano is the host of the NFL Total Access, Monday through Thursday on the NFL Network. Of course, the host of DirecTV Red Zone and NFL Sundays, but he'll forever be known as the voice of the Syracuse Orange Man. Ladies and gentlemen, Andrew joins us in studio right now.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Welcome back. When the first Sunday of the NFL season is coming around, are you so excited to get in front of the camera for the Red Zone, or are you dreading it and going, oh my God, the next 5 months is going to be nothing but this?
Well, I mean, let's tell the truth. No one wants to see me in front of the camera
that's
for the
true.
Red Zone. That's not self-deprecating, although it very well could be. You want to see the stinking games.
Yeah,
if
right.
I'm on camera, that means we're doing something like we have to get in a sales item, or,
right.
or there's three games and they're all at halftime, so nobody
But I
know what you're saying.
You
yes.
personally,
yes.
like I know how we feel coming back from vacation. We have a great job, but that first day back is tough to get up
of course
for. You know
is.
What I mean?
No, this is different only because it's we've been away so long. I
yeah.
mean, try coming back. As much as you guys love your vacation time, if you took 7 months off, I'm sure you'd be eager to come
back. I'd
like
back, to try
right?
that.
And play fight for your right to party. I know you'd be thrilled to do that. You'd be jacked.
You'd be rusty.
And I was jacked as well. I am a little rusty.
Speaking of week one, we were talking just during the Beastie Boys there that is it possible this was the worst first weekend? Of the NFL in a long time.
No, see, I don't think so. Look
at
Thursday, for example. You can say the Ravens fell apart in the second half, or you can say what Peyton Manning did was just freaking ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
He threw seven touchdowns. Right. Or how about the fact that he and Eli combined for 11 touchdowns and nearly 1,000 yards? Or you can look at the fact that the Giants turned the ball over a million times.
There's a lot of turnovers, a lot of penalties. I know. They had five
turnovers. Look, the Lions look sloppy. The Bucks look sloppy. The Browns look sloppy. And maybe they are what we thought they were, to quote Danny Green. They are those sloppy teams.
Right.
But on the flip side, Raider fans, you coulda, woulda, shoulda beaten the Colts in Indy.
Yeah.
I mean, Terrell Pryor, and I'm not saying
that. But isn't that the Raiders' legacy?
MVP. No, they're bad. They weren't supposed to be in that game.
Right.
And maybe that speaks
but
to your point that
ways
the Colts,
to lose.
Maybe the Colts allowed them in the game.
Well,
you're going to look negatively. I'm going to look positively.
Okay.
I'm going to look positively about the Raiders for the first time in a decade.
Okay.
Because they've had 10 consecutive non-winning seasons. That's not English, but you get my point.
Sure.
They had 2-8-8s, but they have not had a winning season in a decade
right.
since they went to the Super Bowl in San Diego. They were positive yesterday. They are trending up at least for 5 minutes, so enjoy it.
Hey, and you can say the same thing about the Buffalo Bills, who have not had
Absolutely.
A lot to cheer about in recent years, and they were in that game until literally the last 10 seconds.
They could have won the game at the end.
Yeah.
And this could have, would have, should have. That's what separates good and bad in this league. The Raiders, the Bills could have. I don't know how the hell the Jets
Let's
won.
Talk about the Jets for just a second, because that was awesome. I mean, because I don't care about either team. If
okay.
I cared about one of the other teams, I would be very upset or very happy.
For those who don't know, the Buccaneers kicked a field goal with under a minute remaining. They're going to win the game. The Jets have a rookie quarterback, much maligned. He really didn't win the job. Mark Sanchez got hurt. All right? So he hasn't done much. He scrambles with 20 seconds left, goes out of bounds, and Lavonte David, a second-year player, a linebacker for Tampa, decides, I'm going to hit him out of bounds. Now, it was close, it was borderline, but clearly it was a flag. It was the right call. That's 15 extra yards, bring the kicker out, win the game, go home. If he doesn't do
if
that...
If he doesn't make that
he doesn't,
penalty,
if he doesn't
they're
hit
out
him,
of field goal
the
range.
The game is... Well, they would take a shot. I mean, they would throw a Hail Mary
sure.
or something. Or maybe they'd have one or two more plays.
It's possible, but not probable that they would have...
It's highly unlikely, highly unlikely that they even get a shot to win that game.
Yeah.
You bring the kicker out, you kick it, you go home.
The Jets are so, Jets fans are so used to the opposite happening, which is that it seems like they got it and then they end up losing. They must, their minds must have been blown with that penalty.
And that's the beauty, and again, I sound like a salesman here, but that's the beauty of the first week. I mean, most Jets fans didn't think this team had anything all
right.
year. And not saying they do now, but after 1 week, it gives you a reason, right?
They're tied for the lead.
Right, they're tied. The entire AFC North. So the Ravens, the defending champions,
right.
lose on Thursday. Then the Steelers got run off their own field. The Browns lose, and they are the same old Browns,
yeah.
no matter how good they look for
they're
2 weeks
in
the preseason. And the Bengals, Hard Knocks, they won 10 games. They've been in the playoffs two straight years. They blow an 11-point second half lead in Chicago. The entire division is 0-4.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
wow.
perfect. That's
the
really
entire
great.
Division.
This is why it's so tough to bet on football and make any money.
I don't do that.
Of course you
don't.
I know you don't.
Record.
But
don't put me
there's
in there.
Just, I mean, it's the oldest cliche in football is that's why they play the games. But I mean, that is why they play the games because no everything on paper that you think you know, you just burn it when Sunday rolls around.
There's also a bunch of nonsense that happens. Like in the Arizona game, I was watching the Cardinals game and the other team's about to score. Who was it, Green Bay?
No, the Rams.
Rams. About to score and one of the Arizona players just reached up and goes, boop, and just tips the ball out of his hand and they recover it. So no touchdown and Arizona gets the ball and it's just like, what? Who drew that up?
Which would you rather have? So go back to the game
right.
Thursday night, right? Yeah, Danny Trevathan, the linebacker for the Broncos, he has the pick. He picks off Joe Flacco. Woo! He's running into the end zone and he drops it on the one because he's so eager to celebrate
yep.
he doesn't realize he hasn't crossed. Or would you rather be Jared Cook there of the Rams who makes a play, running down the seam,
yeah.
he's about to score, and you don't. The 5'6" guy behind you jumps up, and Tyrann Mathieu's barely 5'8", we've stood face-to-face,
right.
jumps up and knocks it out of your hands.
I think
you
I'd rather be
see him.
Him
on.
I think
You'd rather be Jared Cook.
I'd rather be the guy that gets it hit rather than the guy who drops it to celebrate.
Jared Cook, 6'5", 265.
Oh, I know.
All right?
He's huge.
And he's faster than 9 out of 10 guys on the field. And the little guy.
The little guy just jumped, just reached,
with a nickname like
the
Honey Badger. That's his nickname. He hates it, but that's his nickname.
That was awesome.
He's the Honey Badger.
He don't care.
He doesn't.
He don't care.
Believe me, he does not.
Did you have any nicknames in college or throughout your career, Sis?
No.
Besides Sis?
You know what, Sis? I only got in
in Chicago when I lived there. Did I have any nicknames?
Yeah, you
not,
Bears,
not that
Bears
I could
radio,
actually
right?
say on
yeah,
the air.
Yeah, okay, that's
yeah,
what it is.
I got you.
I can't.
All right,
say that.
Andrew, the man with no nickname, Siciliano, is here on the Kevin DeBean Show from NFL Total Access, DirecTV's Red Zone. We have much more to discuss with our guests when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend Andrew Siciliano is here from the NFL Network on the Kevin DeBean Show talking about week one of the NFL. By the way, Kevin, I don't think I ever told you this, but I sat next to Andrew at Weenie Roast this year.
Oh, is that right?
What band do you think
oh, geez.
Andrew Siciliano has seen in concert? How many times,
oh,
Andrew?
Oh, now you're going to embarrass me.
Was it 70?
I grew up in Virginia.
Was it 70?
So, no, it is not
70.
No,
how many
no,
times
it's
was
like
it?
Like 35.
35. What band has Andrew okay. seen 35
I'm 39
times, 39
years old.
Okay.
Okay.
You're being
so
awfully
when,
defensive.
When they started
almost
playing,
once a year.
When they started playing at Trax in Charlottesville in 1992, I was 18.
Right.
And they were kind of a big deal. And you know what? No, I'm not embarrassed about it.
All right. Then why don't you tell us?
Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah!
All right. I'm 39. Give me
that's
you can
right.
rip me all you
Look,
want.
Look, you get high, you go see that. That's all right with
you
me.
You can rip
I'm good
me
with that.
All
I'm not ripping you at all, by
I'm good
the way.
With that, but 35 times is a lot.
It's extreme. It's a lot.
It's a
it's
lot.
It's an awful lot.
Most of them were crammed into my early 20s.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So, for example, if I lived in Chicago, I'd see him in Chicago. I'd see him in Milwaukee. I'd see him at Alpine.
And they change their sets up. They got a lot of songs. They change
their
set time.
Every night. There you go.
Totally.
My Twitter's about
right.
to blow up.
No, we're fine. Speaking of Twitter, you do the Red Zone on DirecTV, and you had a free weekend.
I did.
This past
Well,
weekend.
No, I had a Saturday. Wait, 2 days ago?
Yes.
Two
no,
days
yesterday.
Ago. Yeah.
Yesterday.
What's happening, Kevin?
Preview.
What are you trying to say?
Free
oh,
preview.
I thought you meant
what
I had a free
say?
Weekend like my
no,
own time.
No, I'm sorry. A free...
No, we had a free preview weekend.
Preview,
yes.
So everybody got a chance to
everybody.
Watch the Red Zone that wanted to for free. Okay. And you always say, tweet at us or follow our Twitter.
Sure.
What kind of sport fan do you get yelling back at you? Because sports fans in general can be the biggest a-holes on...
During the show.
The planet.
During
yes.
the show.
Do you get screamed at by people? Do you get,
well, first of
you're
all,
giving my team the short shrift?
Plenty of them are like, hey, welcome back. Happy
okay.
to have you. We're like, they're the nice tweets. And we thank everyone for sending nice tweets. I'm sure you get some nasty ones on
of course.
Twitter every now and then. it is the dumbing down of America. I believe, what was the... What the Boondocks, right? When Samuel L. Jackson's character said, ain't nothing of any significance ever been typed with one's thumbs. Right? So you get the people that say, you're sticking on this game too long.
Right.
You must have money on it.
Right, of course.
Right?
Which is absurd.
Then
but
you
yeah.
get the people that claim, you missed a touchdown. No, you actually went to the bathroom, buddy. Then you get the people that just want to scream and yell and you suck. Or my they blame they blame you for
went wrong,
everything.
Something went wrong with their team.
They missed a parlay.
Right.
Their fantasy team sucks.
Right.
Their team sucks.
Yeah.
Their game is blacked out. I can't control that. Those are NFL blackout rules.
Right.
Now, yesterday there were none.
But you get to take a lot of that crap.
Yep.
Right.
Plenty.
I
take a lot of it. Or the best thing is you're showing me highlights, you bleepity 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 bleep. I don't want I'm gonna bleepity cancel it.
Right.
You're a bleeping you know what.
Anybody
I can't
that watches,
bleeping
though,
believe
knows that you show highlights only when
there's
no live
game.
Action. There's
now,
no live action.
Now, sometimes. Okay, so let's say we got two games. And let's say they're both in commercial. We know that this one, game A, is back in 35 seconds.
Right.
Okay? Now, we could do... And I have a 41-second highlight in my
right,
hand.
Right.
I have to make a decision. Do you come on camera? No one wants to, like, me come on camera, hear your fantasy numbers. Hey, this is brought to you by Kevin... No.
That's
okay,
true.
So I'm gonna run the 40-second highlight.
Uh-huh.
And there's a chance...
Of course.
That for 5 seconds, or maybe it's a 58-second highlight, and you're going to miss 12 seconds of action, at which point, chances are the network is in billboards. So they're coming back and saying, today's
Nothing's
game is brought to you by
anyway.
Budweiser.
Right, right, right.
Right? On the aerial shot above the stadium.
And if something does happen, you'll replay it.
Right. But for those 12 seconds, you will feel the rage of 7 beers into the game guy. Right?
His team is losing.
Exactly.
And whatever.
Seven
Andrew,
beers into the game guy.
I know I've I've asked you this before, but in the unlikely event that you ever get sick, is there a backup Andrew Siciliano prepared to step in?
Well, it's me, clearly.
I have no idea.
Who else
there
can keep
be,
it straight
There must
me.
Be somebody, right?
This is our ninth season.
Kevin's volunteering.
Who else can keep it straight?
I would pay to see that.
I mean,
you have to have an understudy, though, for your job. You have
there
to.
There is one. I mean,
he'd just be there in a
so
bed
what would
with
they do?
IV?
Would they just not put it on the air that week?
No, I honestly do
would
not.
Would you just be throwing up on camera?
That'd be
I've
great.
I've come close. I mean, I've been
that is not really
sick.
Thinking
honestly, it's not the illness that would scare me. I'll show up and work. I don't care.
Right.
It's the, like, for example, Thanksgiving. If I were to go home, which sometimes I do, home being 3,000 miles away.
Right.
And there's bad weather.
Right.
Forget about bad weather. We've all been at the gate where they say, mechanical.
Right.
Sure. Everyone's on the first one out 6 a.m.
And you know that whatever that means.
Mechanical means we didn't sell enough tickets. Everyone go home. We're not paying for the gas.
So then they call me?
And
or how does that?
I want Kevin to be the backup guy.
How does that work?
That's the one that freaks me.
In our remaining moments, Andrew, and again, you can see Andrew on your TV on the NFL Network on Around the League starting this afternoon at 3 o'clock. That's where we can see you every weekday, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What do you think about the full season of Thursday night football? Because I hate it.
Well.
Why do you hate it?
I work for NFL Network, and we have
so
13 games on Thursday nights. I will say that this past Thursday was the NBC game. Our schedule starts this week
with
the 1-0 Jets against the 1-0 Patriots. Tune in.
Right.
Kickoff is at 8:30 Eastern time on Thursday. Football. I don't. Why do you dislike it?
Yeah,
I'll turn it back on you.
Just because I feel like it really is – well, first of all, in previous years, they put crappy games on the Thursday night because they didn't want any of the good teams to play. But
that's
it just,
not true.
It is true.
It
the Thursday night matchups
though.
Have
Maybe
been terrible
later
for the most part.
Well, first of all, there's only – you want to spread out the good games among your other partners
Agreed.
As well so they get right. primetime games that they like.
I just – can you imagine how the Patriots and Jets feel on Thursday having to play again? It's not going to be their best football.
It's
a short turnaround when you have a Monday night game. But to go Sunday to Thursday, that's a lot to ask a football player to go
they
through.
They, although, get extra time off. They get a week off after.
Right? Oh, do they? Yeah, well,
so,
I guess so. Yeah.
Listen, it's – well, no, that's after the London game. They don't do it after these Thursday games. I take that back. You know, people thought it led to injuries. Statistics show it does not. Sometimes, yes, it can be a little sloppy, but we've had some amazing finishes as well. We've had Peyton on a Thursday night, you know, working San Diego a couple of years ago. There are great games every single week.
I'm with you. I love them. I don't know what Bean hates.
I mean, you had the Packers and the Bears on a Thursday to open up the schedule last year. That was fantastic.
Well, I wouldn't have asked if I remembered that the games are on your paycheck.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I would not have asked.
I enjoy. Can I throw in one more thing, by
yes,
the way?
Please.
So you had your Lisa thing, the Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
And
if
so,
you'd have been
yeah.
here earlier, by the way, you could have been licking Lisa.
I was sitting in traffic stuck on the 10, and there's a question about Al Gore. No, you had some Al Gore tie-in
yes.
question, right?
Yeah. How long were they married?
2001, I'm on The Weakest Link on NBC, the Ann Robinson version. I'm a contestant.
Of course you are.
Okay. No, I was. True story. Okay. And so they conspired, these three women. I'm going to call them women. I have another name for them. They conspired because I was the guy that they said was the biggest threat, so they're going to vote me off in the first round.
Okay.
Okay. The woman who voted me off on the
yes.
first round of The Weakest Link.
Right.
The question was, what Tennessee senator fought at the Battle of the Alamo? And this... woman.
It was Davy Crockett, right?
Brain surgeon.
Said,
Al Gore.
Al Gore. And Ann Robinson looked at her and said, what, pray tell, did Andrew do that was worse than saying that Al Gore, I can't do it, featured at the Battle of the Alamo?
You were just a threat, that's all.
And she said, we cast out the sportscaster.
That's funny.
Oh, how about that? I'm sorry we ripped a scab off a very painful
It was. It was painful. Honestly, I don't know who won. I refused to watch. They walked me off the lot. They said, you want to stick around for the rest of the show? I said, no, walk me to my car.
When you hear the words Al Gore, you start to get the shivers and cry a little bit, which is very, very
it's
sad.
It's global warming, yes.
All right, this afternoon, Around the League on the NFL Network with our good friend Andrew Siciliano. He has been our guest, and we welcome him back, and we welcome back to the NFL season. Thanks, Andrew.
Love you guys.
Ralph, did you hear that Kevin is bringing in highlights of the Million Second Quiz on tomorrow's
That's
show?
Not, I did
wait. Not hear that.
That is not happening.
We're
that's,
very
that's,
much
I
looking
it's
forward
great
to
for
it.
Ryan Seacrest as a proud black man to lead the Million Man March, and I think it's
not a million
be
man
very
march.
Impressive when all those men are down there in Times Square and they are making a comment about
not
about African American families and standing by your kids and being there for them, and they are there to represent.
It's going to be so many bow ties in primetime, though. What was
be.
The last time we saw that many guys
I
with bow ties?
I want to take one last look at the word atonement. The first four letters of the word form the foundation. A-T-O-N.
Just one $10,000.
Aton.
Aton.
Oh, how much did he win now?
Aton.
10 grand.
Oh,
well, now 20.
20 grand?
The one gone.
22,000.
That's awesome.
If you look at the Aton.
This is the most anticipated Aton. Event in television.
Well, we're looking forward to hearing more about it tomorrow, Kevin.
Not going to happen.
First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I want to give you things because I love you. That's what I tell my three-year-old daughter, and that's what I'm telling you, my
she
listeners. I want to give you things, and I'm very excited about this. I didn't even know we were going to be giving these away when last week I was gushing about the trailer for this film and telling you how excited I was to see it. It's called Rush.
Yay!
From director Ron Howard. Who's just one of those directors you know when you see one of his movies, it's going to be good.
Yep. Quality. Yep.
Sometimes, to varying degrees, sometimes he knocks it out of the park, but it's always just a solid, just triple.
It's never going to be a bad movie. You
right.
know that.
He just cares so much, you can tell the details and the work that he does. This film looks fantastic, by the way. The story of the rivalry in Formula One racing between British playboy James Hunt and Niki Lauda from Germany, and it was all the talk. Of Formula One racing back in the 70s. I know nothing about F1 racing.
I don't either.
I don't care about it, about that
either.
Sport. But this Rush movie makes me desperately care and desperately want to see it. So for some reason, that's all I care about
it
now.
Looks fascinating.
It does. If you'd like to go, we're having a special K-Rock Advance screening on September the 18th at the Arclight Hollywood. Another one of my favorite places in the world, the Arclight Hollywood. You know, Kevin loves it, too.
I do.
You remember his
do.
Famous poster from the Arclight.
I actually still go there.
Rush is in theaters everywhere Friday, September the 27th, but you'll see it before anybody else, well before anybody else. If you attend our special K-Rock Advance screening, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through on that phone number will get a pair of passes to attend the screening for Rush.
That's the band, Rush. That's the band. That's not the same.
Oh,
it's the band.
My friends, I will be in a movie.
That's Rush Limbaugh. Very different.
I'm confused then. What's this movie about? I thought it was about Rush Limbaugh playing in the band Rush. He's sitting in for Geddy Lee or something.
No.
Then I'm not that interested. Speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We take a look every Monday morning. Riddick was number one, $18.7 million. Made it number one in not a big box office weekend. Not a lot of people going.
So it hasn't made enough yet for Vin to pay off the second mortgage that he took out on his house to make the film, right?
I don't know. I don't know what it cost him to make it, so I couldn't tell you. But I hope he gets his money back. The Butler, $8.9 million, made it number two at the box office. So far, that film has made over $91 million in North America alone.
That's crazy good.
Instructions not included. The Mexican film, third at the box office with a little over $8 million. Then We're the Millers at four. Planes was fifth. One Direction, This Is Us, the documentary about the boy band One Direction. $4 million made it number six. Would have made more if we had seen the video and photos that I saw this morning of Lewis of One Direction playing in a charity soccer game and getting tackled by a real professional soccer player, limping off the field and then vomiting on the pitch. I think more people would have gone to One Direction's movie in the hopes of seeing more footage like that.
If I'd have known there was One Direction vomit.
I think he realized he was playing soccer, and it made him sick to his stomach, and so he started to
fight. Is that what
That's
it is?
What it was, yeah. Elysium was seventh. Blue Jasmine, the Woody Allen film that I saw this weekend and loved, was eighth. Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, and The World's End, rounding out your top ten at the box office.
Ralph, have you ever been injured and had that instant reaction to throw up?
Only once when I caught a... I was playing the infield in a softball game without a cup, and I caught a bouncer. You know, they teach you get in front of the ball.
Of course.
And I got in front of the
but
ball.
Not with the balls.
With my balls. And I caught just a one-hopper right in the nads, and I almost
almost spontaneously threw up upon impact.
It was almost identical timing.
It really was. I was so very, very nauseous. However, I held it in. I was able
did
to.
You?
I did not actually vomit. Unlike One Direction's Lewis, I was able to hold my mud. Because I'm a man.
I know your nuts hurt.
That they did. They did indeed. It was just a friendly game of pickup softball.
Wrong.
You don't expect to get
not friendly anymore.
I would not want to be his nutsack.
And you have to remember, I have significant nuts.
Okay.
I have oversized.
I don't. That's too much.
That region of my body is
too much information.
An easier target than most.
Right.
Because I have abnormally large.
Okay. All right.
Gliomies.
I'm sorry.
I have to wear a cup just in everyday life just to keep them from knocking people over.
Is that right?
So I should have been wearing it during the softball game. But alas, I was not.
Oh, nuts.
Indeed. And this Friday, the greatest event ever to happen on a live stage happened, and I missed it at the Salt Lake City Comic Con this past weekend, Friday night. Taking the stage, William Shatner and Adam West side by side, appearing in front of a sold-out audience.
That's like a wet dream of yours.
It's the best thing ever that ever has happened. And I wasn't there. And I know the guy. He could have given me a heads up. He could have got a little ring-a-ding on the phone. Hello?
Would have been nice.
Oh, Ralph, yes. William Shatner and I are going to be on stage together. I thought maybe you'd like to hop on the bat jet with me and go on down to Salt Lake City.
No, I didn't get that call.
No, that's
nope.
True.
Just happened.
Said William Shatner on too. He could have called
back.
You.
Yeah, no, really.
Didn't happen.
Oh, I can't imagine the joy that those people got to witness. You know, the two of them did a pilot together back in 1965.
They did?
Before Shatner was Kirk and Adam West became Batman, they starred in a pilot for a TV series about Alexander the Great.
All right.
A lot of guys in skirts and sandals walking around with swords.
That didn't work out.
And Shatner was Alexander the Great, and Adam West played his best friend and second in command. Leander.
Does a tape of that exist?
It
Ralph?
Does.
Did it survive?
It does. I've got a VHS copy if you want to dust off your VHS.
I don't have that anymore.
Maybe I'll get it dumped onto the DVD for you.
That's cool.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Williams is 33 years old today. Singer Michael Bublé is 38. Adam Sandler is 47 years old. Hugh Grant turns 53. And one of our favorites, actor, multi-Emmy winner, Eric Stone Street celebrates his 42nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Live that
fantasy. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You're about 5 minutes away from winning yet more tickets for Depeche Mode at Staples Center all week long on K-Rock. We're going to be giving them to you from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. to see their upcoming show on September 28th, 29th, or October 2nd. About 5 minutes from right now, we'll tell you to call in. Not yet, because we need you for something else, and that is to discuss... Well, there are two videos that are just burning up the internet right now. One of them is the Fox video. You're not what?
I'm not familiar with that one.
And the other one, and both of these you can see at kerock.com or kevinandbean.com. The other one is called The Worst Twerk Fail Ever. Now, twerking, as you know, is the dance that's sweeping the nation right now. It's the little dance that Miley Cyrus did on the MTV Video Music Awards with Robin Thicke last weekend. It is defined as dancing to popular music in a sexually provocative manner involving thrusting hip movements and a low squatting stance. And this girl in the video is, if you believe the description of the video, making a twerking video to send to her boyfriend. Kevin, why don't you pick it up from there about how things went terribly wrong for her, and then we're going to discuss whether this is real or if this is something that somebody made to make it look like it's real.
She's doing her dance, and then she goes up against the door, and she goes upside down, and she's doing her dance, and then a friend or somebody opens the door that she's against, that she's kind of balancing herself on, and she falls over feet first and lands on a coffee table that has candles on it and is lit on fire. Now, it looks real to me.
Uh-huh.
Dave, you don't think it's real?
I believe it's fake, yes.
Why?
Now, before we hear from Dave, the phone lines are open at 1-800-520-1067. It's only a 30-second video. If you've seen it, give us a call. Tell us whether you think it's real or fake. If you haven't seen it, just click on over to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and watch the video, then give us a call. All right, Dave, what are your concerns about this twerking video?
Well, you know I'm a internet viral video expert, so I analyze it. Yes.
You are the guy who puts together the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup every week, so you certainly have put in your time.
And remember, I also proved that the Harlem Shake video was real, so that's
okay,
my background.
Yeah, you got one guess right.
I took it to the lab, and I analyzed it. And there's just so many different things that makes it fake for me.
What?
First off, the sound. All right? The sound is fine and it's in sync until...
Wait, in sync is in it?
Yes. until she hits the table and crashes. Because right. Then the audio speeds up and is ahead of in the video. So you hear the crash before she actually crashes on the...
Oh, so you think yeah. that the camera may have stopped right at that moment so that then they could make it look like she lit on fire? Is that your theory?
I don't think there's an edit in the video. She looks like she's falling from the being up against the door right into the glass table. That
doesn't
look
like
there's
a
cut. Yes. But it sounds to me like what Dave is suggesting, and I don't speak King of Mexican, is that the audio was sweetened in post-production.
Yes. And only because, you know, when she picks up her feet, you could hear her feet hit the door and it sounds great. And then it's all in sync. And then when she hits the table, you know, it's not. The crash happens before she actually hits it. So that's...
Oh, so you're saying
part.
The sound of the crash comes before the actual
yeah.
hit?
Yeah, before she actually takes it out.
All right.
But more importantly is when the friend opens the door, she is fine. She's not falling over until the friend pulls the door back and pushes again, and that's where she kicks off with her left foot. She kicks off so she can fall over. She would have been fine if the friend just would have opened the door and she had nice balance. So
you don't think she would have fallen on
not
if
at all.
It were real?
Not at all.
She made
if she, yeah.
no attempt to catch herself.
To catch herself.
Like she
exactly.
full on fell flat. Like anybody would try to curl or do anything not to fall flat
on
that
table. I don't know. I buy it because it looks to me like she just fell over sideways. And who's going to set themselves on fire?
Who's going to twerk and film this video without locking the door if you know you're going to use a door? And her friend's reaction was, oh!
Her friend's reaction
oh!
was the dead giveaway.
Yeah, that's like, oh, no,
terrible.
What did I do? And then she, like I said, she pushed it, realized she didn't push it far enough, so she pulled back
and
pushed again. Yes.
But you don't think, playing devil's advocate here, you don't think that she put her foot, because I agree with you, Dave, but you don't think she put her foot back on the door because she was trying to steady herself so that she didn't fall over again?
If she wanted to steady herself, she could have, because she could have put both feet back. But instead, she kicks off. Look at the video, and you'll see her kick off with her left foot. You don't do that if you're trying to steady yourself. And if you're the friend, you don't push again to open the door. You close the door.
You push the door, and you realize there's something there, so you push
no
harder.
But the friend can see. She pokes her head around.
Who
and
hurt
she could
you,
see.
Dave? Why do you not believe life?
No, I don't think so, Dave. I don't think the way you're describing
well,
it
you're
sounds
wrong,
right to
but...
me. I think she tries to open the door like Kevin said. She realizes that something's in the way, and
right.
she can't see yet. She doesn't know it's her friend on the other side of the door. She thinks maybe there's a book or something laying in front of the door, so she pushes
a book,
it a little
really?
Harder. whatever it is. I don't think she has any idea that it's
no.
her
Dude,
friend.
Dude, if you open the door and you feel resistance, what do? You don't try
you
to
open
shove
it more.
You don't shove it.
You push it. You push the door.
All right, hold that thought. Let's go to Brett.
If you're
Brett.
Coming into your apartment or something, Dave, why wouldn't you push your own door open to get into your own place?
Hey, Brett.
Hey,
fake,
how's it going?
Fake or real?
Fake.
Looks fake to you.
Well, there's a bottle of alcohol sitting on the table, so my
yes.
assumption is that they're trying to play that off as it being flammable. And again, the door should be locked, and her friend should be jumping on top
well,
of her.
Wait, hold on a second.
That's another point.
Let's back up to the door should be locked. That's an easy, easy, easy overlook. I mean, you can understand how that could go either way.
Especially if the girl's home by herself
yes.
and isn't expecting anybody
okay.
to show up.
If you're assuming that's the front door to an apartment or something.
Which I uh-huh. wasn't.
Yes,
no,
which I don't believe either.
No, I'm assuming that she just, that could easily skip her mind. That's not.
You. If the friend's
that's
opening the door.
Sure.
Wouldn't she hear the keys, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a front door.
All right, so you think
yeah.
it's fake?
Yes.
All right. We got one
so,
fake.
So the alcohol, you think the alcohol is just there as a prop, but the fire is clearly real, right?
Yes,
oh,
the fire
she
is
may
real.
Be a stunt
she's
person.
On fire. She may be a stunt person.
Yeah.
she's like 11, by the way.
And here's another thing. When the friend sees her fall and crash and catch fire, what does she do? She runs away from the friend.
Of course, she's on fire.
Yes, you go help your friend.
Oh, you would like to think you would.
Let's talk to Naomi real quick. Naomi is on line 3 again. You can see this twerking video that we're talking about. It's called Worst Twerk Fail Ever. It's at kevinandbean.com. Naomi, you've seen it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's real for sure. I watched it a few times
because okay.
I thought at first it might be fake.
Right.
But yeah, her legs went right up into the air the second that door opened.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, there was no way to save it. She was already up in the air. You could tell she held herself midair, and then she just crashed that table. It was genuine fear in both those girls.
No, she didn't. go straight up in the air and then crash. She fell back to the door and then pushed off.
I didn't see that. I watched a few times. She just went up into the air and then fell down into the table.
I'm with Naomi.
Naomi, yeah, let me ask you, and let me ask Kevin this, both of you. What do you think happens to the friend when she runs out of the frame instead of, I don't know, trying to help her friend who's on fire by hitting her with pillars or doing something to try to put that fire out? Where is she going?
She ran to grab a hose, maybe?
I'm with Naomi. She ran to grab a hose.
Because we all have a hose in our apartment.
It is odd. Like, who is videotaping it? Is an odd question, and why did it cut right where it cut?
I think the video was on a tripod. Okay. I think no one was videotaping; it was on a tripod. And I think the only reason I can think it cut off there is because that's where they decided to end the video. I think it goes on.
Well, if you want to say that's on a tripod, it would be higher because who puts a tripod that low?
The
camera was perfect for the fire, not for the twerking.
It was either her cell phone just propped up or maybe a webcam or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if it was a cell phone, then there's nothing that's going to hold it. That's steady.
Well, I propped my cell phone up like that before for videotaping.
Yes,
for your
twerking
video.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
I'd like to see those videos.
All right, Naomi, thank you, my dear. Let's go to Mike P. He's on line six. He has gone frame by frame on this video. So he's our Zapruder. Look it up, kids. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, so my buddy and I, we just thought that, you know, we had the same argument. Is it fake? Is it real? I thought it was real, so we went frame by frame and just really tried to analyze the video. And I think the number one reason you could tell it's real is that, I mean, there's dread on their faces. I mean, you can't fake something like that.
Yeah, you can.
Sure can. First of all, you can.
And that girl's not 11, by the way.
No, I know. I was exaggerating, but I'm saying she's too young to be a stunt
woman.
She's not. Lisa, that's all I was saying.
She's not at all.
She looks like she's 17.
Yeah, and you've seen 17-year-olds that are being played by 25-year-olds and 30-year-olds.
Mike, were you able to convince your friend who was arguing with you that it was real?
He was skeptical, but I was able to. I mean, if you really just look at their faces, then, I mean, you could tell. I mean,
all right, but how do you answer Dave's primary piece of evidence, which is that she does push off from the door rather than trying harder to steady herself when her friend comes in the other side?
Well, you know, unless you've been put, you know, upside down and you have your feet on a door and then that door moves, you can't really tell how you're going to respond or react.
I've done that 100 times.
All right, and how about point two that the caller had made, that the alcohol seemed a little bit too convenient a prop to be in the exact right location to catch fire?
I think unless you're drinking, no one else is going to be doing that.
Who's going to light themselves on fire?
Here's another thing. Who has candles on during the daylight?
Girls. And she's got a bottle of alcohol, five candles, and limes. It's so staged. Okay,
any college girl.
Setup. Yeah.
Any college girl.
And by the way, the alcohol is not that flammable. You can't light it. It doesn't light up like that. So
I'm just happy to be on the opposite side than Dave.
The wrong side? I mean, once again, I'm proving that I'm right. So what can you do? I'm sorry, Internet, that it's fake, but, you know, it is.
All right, Dave has spoken. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Song is ending. Don't you mind your own business?
We just stopped paying attention to him completely. He was trying to get our attention because the song was ending, and none of us would listen.
We're talking.
Muggs was in Las Vegas over the weekend with a bunch of friends, and he really must have overdone it because he has been almost invisible today, just so quiet. Just
it's beautiful.
Just
I haven't seen him eat a thing either, by the way.
You haven't eaten a thing.
Oh, I hate. Don't worry.
Oh, really? Yeah. Sneak eating?
What?
Did you perhaps eat and drink too much this weekend in Las Vegas, 2 months?
What do you think? Yes.
No. Because I am in trouble with the flow.
You know what? Las Vegas, a little more. Move out of your damn parents' house. You put away a little money and get some rent going. Instead of splurging on giant footballs full of beer and dollar shrimp cocktails downtown. You loser.
I just love so much that Muggs is 29 and looks like Saul from Homeland. That's what I love. All right. Ralph is here. Time for the final Showbiz Beat for a Monday morning. What the hell's going on?
First and foremost,
Eagles!
Really, that should be tomorrow, depending on how they do.
I'm sorry. I don't know how they're going to do tomorrow, so I have to get it out now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I have to get my enthusiasm pregame because I have no idea what's going to happen tonight.
They're the early game tonight?
They're the 4 o'clock game, yes. Okay. So we'll know by 7 o'clock whether it's going to be a long year or a medium year or a good year.
Or we'll know when we read the headline later.
That's right. When they find me swinging.
from my shower curtain rod with my Vic jersey tied around my neck.
Look, no matter how bad it is, it's only one game. There are lots of teams who have sucked in the first four games of the season and still even made the playoffs,
but,
Ralph.
But my adorable little non-football-knowing friend, with a brand new regime, with a brand new system in place,
right.
The first game will be the bellwether as to how the personnel of the team is responding to the new coach and the new philosophy.
Understood.
And the new franchise. But, so you're going to need to see some sort of grasp of what's happening.
But there's maybe some...
This isn't like Andy Reid's coming back again and we're just going to see how the year's going to be. Yeah, you can go up and down. But this is a major overhauling, and it's either going to be, ooh, this is going to be a work in progress, or, hey, these guys look like this is a better fit for them and they're responding well to the new scheme.
Well, good luck with that.
Well, God bless you. And good luck also to whatever it is that interests you. It is Monday morning, and we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Riddick, number one at the box office. Only made $18.7 million. But
Riddick, cue Luss.
Oh, no, you did. Woo! Been working on that one all morning, have you?
No, this came to me.
$18.7 million made it number one.
Kevin, were you by yourself when you walked out of that film?
What do you think?
Okay.
You think I can talk anyone into going to Riddick with me?
Okay, I'm sorry. Just wondering if there was any kind of a disagreement, any kind of a tussle with the people you were with, but of course.
No. Kevin just sitting there alone watching Riddick.
It's terrible.
It's kind of sad when you think about it.
No, I go to movies alone all the time. Turns out my taste is not shared
does
not
by translate me. To the mass populace?
Not shared by a lot of my friends.
The Butler, number two, $8.9 million. Instructions not included. The groundbreaking Mexican film doing gangbusters business here in the States, at least by Mexican film standards. $8.1 million was third. We're the Millers. Fourth, Planes was fifth. One Direction, the documentary about the boy band. This Is Us, $4.1 million, made it number six. Elysium was seventh. Blue Jasmine, the new Woody Allen film, was eighth with $2.7 million. I took my wife to see that this weekend, and I am so glad she liked it as much as I did, because I was on my three strikes, you're out rule with picking movies.
Oh, no. This is your third?
Yes.
Oh, no.
She's not a big movie fan, so usually she lets it up, gives it up to me to say, you know, I think you would like this, let's go. And so it was our third time out, and the first two had been swing and a miss. So
do you remember what you steered wrong on?
I'm watching, like out of the corner of my eye, I'm trying to gauge. I'm not getting anything. But finally, the lights come up when I turn, ever so carefully and cautiously turn. She's like, I loved that. And I was like, woohoo!
Now, did the strike one and two get wiped away now?
Yeah, now I get another brand new three strikes. Okay. You know, you get hit, you get on base, when you come back out to bat again, you get another three strikes.
That's right? True. All right. Yeah.
Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters, ninth, and The World's End rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. A lot of people getting married over the weekend. Piper Perabo from Covert Affairs. She married her director/producer of that show over there on the USA Network, Stephen Kay.
She's a good deal.
She is a lovely lady and a good little actress. We had her in years ago, remember, for Coyote Ugly.
I do.
That's right.
And I fell desperately in love with her when she came to visit us in the studio that day. Now, that's a movie. That's a movie. Anytime you have Tyra Banks playing a law student, you have me. Josh Charles got married. He, of course, from The Good Wife. He's so good on that show. Married the author of The Bunheads book, Sophie Flack, in a Manhattan ceremony last Friday. Patrick Stewart of Star Trek fame got married for the third time this weekend. The 73-year-old wed a 35-year-old jazz singer named Sonny Orzel. Sir Ian McKellen, McNeito, to his Professor Xavier, officiated the wedding.
That's awesome that those two guys are such close friends in real life.
Best buds. Patrick was the officiant at Sir Ian's recent wedding. And they're also teaming up to do a couple shows on Broadway, I think, together as well.
Wow.
So they're going to be Waiting for Godot and another film, a play. So those guys are the best of buddies. Speaking of marriages, I did mention last week that Holly Madison, who used to date Hugh Hefner, of course, was part of that Girls Next Door reality show. She is marrying her boyfriend, Pasquale Rotella, her baby daddy, in Disneyland this week. And tomorrow, as a matter of fact. I was wondering why they were in such a rush. Turns out he's only got 9 days before he has to head back to court for the 29 counts of bribery, embezzlement, conspiracy, and conflict of interest charges that are against him.
I think I'd wait.
So they want to get married, I think, before he becomes someone else's bride in prison.
He wants to be spoken for, so we can say, no, I'm sorry, Cletus. I already have a wife.
That code works in jail?
I think it does, okay. Yes. They respect matrimony in jail.
Okay.
You can say what you want about hardened criminals, but they have a healthy respect for matrimony. So one thing you can say about it. Speaking of matrimony, Us Weekly and several other sources are saying Tom Cruise is hunting for his fourth bride.
Oh, the auditions are open already?
The auditions are open. He's using ScientologyMingle.com or whatever site works for him. But according to the sources, they are once again going through the Scientology pool trying to find him an appropriate mate.
That's a weird thing, isn't it?
Sure is.
Look, there are a lot of people who want to marry somebody of the same faith.
Of course.
Catholics who want to marry Catholics.
Of course.
Jews who want to marry Jews. I mean, it's not really
but
that crazy.
Few people have the Pope start to comb through
the Catholic Church.
The
That's
Catholic
true.
Church to find a bride for them. It's a little different in Tom Cruise's case. Here's what you need to be, ladies. Brainy, mid to late 30s, beautiful, and a longtime member of the Church of Scientology, at least 5 years. You also need to work in the entertainment industry. Here's the criteria. So, good luck. It's Million Second Madness, whatever that shows.
Are there very many young stars that you can think of who are Scientologists, or are most of the people that we know about much older now?
No,
huh?
there are lots of them. Laura Prepon.
Sure. Oh, she's Scientologist. I didn't realize that.
Giovanni Ribisi. Juliette Lewis.
Okay. So good luck, Tom.
There are many people in young Hollywood who subscribe to that faith. Cynthia Nixon from Sex and the City. She is joining the cast of Hannibal.
Really?
Yeah.
When does that show come back? It's a good show.
It'll be back in mid-season.
Ah,
so we'll have to wait until the beginning of
January,
guessing spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'll have a recurring role as an employee of the Office of the Inspector General at the FBI Oversight on the NBC serial thriller show. Yes, indeed. Speaking of NBC and thrillers and series, how good does that Blacklist look?
Oh, that looks great.
James Spader.
He looks terrible, but that looks great.
What do you mean looks terrible?
I mean, he looks unhealthy. He just looks terrible.
What's wrong with you? What does that even mean?
His head is shaved. He looks overweight.
Thank you. He looks like
like he aged like everyone else.
No, he spent a year and a half straight in Vegas, and he just came straight from there, and now he's doing the show. Looks like a great show.
I love him, but he looks rough.
Thank you, Lisa.
He had the Adonis-like physique and good looks of you, Kevin. Then we can all relax and watch his TV series.
Thank you for pointing that out.
We need handsome criminals in our shows, or else we just can't buy them.
That looks great.
And an old buddy of James Spader, Mr. William Shatner. They worked together on that show, Boston Legal.
World.
A lot of papers on that show. A lot of people were doing this with papers.
That's true.
I remember. He was at work on Friday night in Salt Lake City, appearing at the Salt Lake City Comic Con. For the first time ever, he co-hosted and shared the stage with another 60s icon, William Shatner and Adam West, together on the stage for the first time.
Wow.
That's impressive.
Two of them regaling the audience with stories of coming to age in Hollywood in the 60s and their success, and they're working together. They did a TV show together, and they've been longtime friends but have never appeared in front of an audience together. So by all accounts, it was quite a successful evening, and I'm just hoping they do it again so I can see it.
Who wins in that fight?
I don't know.
Have you ever...
Does Shatner have a phaser? Is he packing? Because if he doesn't have a weapon, Adam's going to kick his ass.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
Ralph, do you remember how humiliating, embarrassing it was for us as a show when Kevin just tried to bring down the old man when he was a guest that one time?
Oh, when Kevin said his life and career had been over for 50 years and he should die? That part of the interview?
Say that? It just came off a little...
No, I believe I have the tape as a reminder of what that dark day was. What the Kevin and Bean 9/11 show was all about. Listen.
But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960, what was that, over 8? 1969? When was...
Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
It's all been downhill from you since 68. Your whole life after that fact has been pretty much a write-off, Adam West.
That sounded bad.
Enjoy.
That is a tough thing to say to an actor, man. Is the best thing you ever did was in 1969.
But I didn't
forget all your success on Family Guy and becoming an icon and everything. Just lay down, Adam. That's what you should have told him.
Why does Kevin hate
Adam West?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michelle Williams is 33 years old. Michael Bublé is 38. Adam Sandler turns 47 years old today. Hugh Grant celebrates his 53rd birthday. And one of our favorite actors and people, Mr. Eric Stone Street from Modern Family and from the Kings games. And
just being awesome.
Just being awesome. Just sometimes he'll go down the street and just throw $100 bills out the window to people who look forlorn.
He's a good guy to follow on Twitter. He's got
very funny
vines.
Guy on Twitter. Yeah, good guy. 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning we have highlights of the Million Second Quiz or whatever
Million
that is.
Million Man March.
Million Man Quiz, yep. March. You walked out of a movie. We're going to find out if I'm the only one.
I was trying to think how long has it been. I walked out of a movie, and I know I've done it, but I couldn't for the life of me tell you when or what it was.
Lisa?
It was that long.
It was that Woody Allen one.
Oh, Woody Allen one. Okay. All right.
The Curse of the Jade Scorpion.
Yep.
And tomorrow night, a TV show comes back by the name of Sons of Anarchy.
Which is great.
And we have the creator, Kurt Sutter, in the studio with us.
We've been looking forward to this for a really, really long time.
Step out.
That is tomorrow morning on an all-new
Why is that an ooh, Lisa? You love
Did
him,
you
don't
just
you?
Hear the noise
no,
that Ralph
making,
made?
I was making noises, Bean.
So the ooh is not about Sons of Anarchy.
No.
It's just Ralph's expression of
and
love.
For a change, it's not about you.
It's all about Ralph. Just enjoy.